This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes, probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
Hey, is that a new kid or something? How long did it take you to grow that mustache?
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Can you bring me my chapstick? My lips hurt real bad.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82. I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo here. The rest of the guys will be here momentarily. Bill Belichick had a noontime press conference today. It's all crazy because of this Thursday night. Big showdown for first place with the New York Jets coming up. I'm excited.
I feel like we don't even have time to talk about Buffalo yet.
I know.
We have this game.
I know.
Every week, like Bill says, now every week these games keep getting bigger. The biggest game of the season is the next one. And
that's
not even a cliche now. It's true.
Well, this will be a good week for us because we'll be on today, we'll be on tomorrow, and game day.
A rare game day edition of PFW in Progress.
So it's an exciting week for us. We are going to have time here to talk about the big game against the Bills. I think it was
outstanding,
kind of a must-win for the Patriots.
Yeah, I thought it was a must-win for both teams, and I really did. I felt like that going in, and I thought it was the Patriots' most complete performance of the season.
Yep, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Brett and the Jets coming into town Thursday night, and a very different Jets team than the Patriots played in Week 2. So we'll get into all that this week. Obviously, we'll catch up with all of our lives, right? Because fans like to know what we're doing.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So
we'll do all that. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at Patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And I got a nice box in the mail.
Okay,
it was from Phil in Nova Scotia.
That's uncalled for because Andy's not even here.
Yeah. Phil in Nova Scotia sent us a care package, all with products from Nova Scotia. So Kyle is bringing it down. I forgot it.
Okay.
So he's going to bring it down, and I'll read Phil's letter when I get it. But really some interesting stuff. So
In your box. Sorry, G.
It was a box in the mail.
Settle down, Beavis.
So as soon as Kyle brings that down, we'll dissect and analyze Phil from Nova Scotia's care package box.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Sent.
And very nice again. Our listeners are really
going over
the top with their generosity.
Well, Paul, before we get into what happened today, I know that Bill has his press conference. There was AXIS today. Let's talk about this Bills game.
I'd love to.
Adalys Thomas, reports are that he might be out for the season. That's the bad news coming out of this game.
To me, that's a significant loss. I know that
his versatility.
You sometimes get on me, for making light of some of the injuries. I really think this is after Brady, this is the second significant injury they've had. And the reason I feel like that is Rodney. You know what I feel about Rodney, but
sure,
they had two starting safeties.
Male love. Yeah,
they had a three safety system, so now it became a two. They certainly missed something with the leadership and all that with Rodney, but I think on the field, and I think we've seen it, I didn't really feel like it was that big a deal. The running back situation, they had five.
Yep.
So did I expect Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis to do this? No, I didn't.
No.
But I figured somebody would.
Yep.
Because they had five running backs.
Right.
I thought that they would pitch in, mix and match, and I figured they'd be able to get by. But Adalys Thomas, you said the right word, Fred. I think the versatility makes him a little bit tougher to replace. Doesn't mean they're going to lose games because he's not there. I'm not saying that because I've seen them be able to get by in the past with less. But I think that he's a guy that they don't have a replacement for that can do the things that he does. And it's going to be interesting to see how they go about that.
I mean, you know, the speculation out there is, do you call up Roosevelt Colvin and see if he can play? Do you bring back Seau and maybe move Brusky to the outside? I mean, what do you do if you're the Patriots? Do you stand pat and just have Pierre Woods pick up the load?
That's personally what I would do. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think that they've established a good precedent of sort of filling from within. You know, guys that are knowledgeable in their system, guys that understand how the Patriots do things. Now, obviously, Seau or Colvin would be examples of that as well. But I think that Pierre Woods, you plug him in, see how that goes. I think in sub packages, you know, maybe Pierre Woods on first and second down, Fred, and on sub packages, maybe a combination of Gary Guyton, who's gotten a lot of work in various spots in sub packages. You continue to increase his workload, and I think you can get by. Maybe for depth, you bring up Vince Redd off the practice squad, a guy who's gotten a couple of different weeks. He's been the practice squad, one of the practice players of the week. So obviously, he's working hard at practice, even though he's just on the practice squad. Yep. I think you fill in with what you have. I don't necessarily think you gain anything by signing Seau because you already have a good rotation on the inside. I don't want to see them move Mayo around because I love what he's doing on the inside. Right. I don't think Brusky is an outside linebacker in a 3-4. He's an outside in a 4-3.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that that's the
– Do you go to a 4-3?
Well,
now that Jarvis Green is
I like that possibility over signing one of those other guys.
Yeah.
Another guy we haven't mentioned is Victor Hobson.
Right.
Who got cut and was here and still, to my knowledge, is still available.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who played outside with the Jets. He tried to play a little bit inside here in preseason.
Didn't work out.
Really seemed like it worked out. Maybe he's a guy with knowledge of the system who you could plug in. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to go, but I like the filling within.
Okay.
From within framework.
All right. We'll see what our listeners have to say about that situation. Again, another big step forward, I think, for the progress of Matt Castle. Another solid game by him.
You know, I think this says a lot about him, and I know we're going to talk about the Jets a lot this week, Fred, but when people are talking about this game coming up with the Jets, and this is national people who are supposed to be fair and balanced and impartial, they don't care who wins like we do, they're looking at this game as which quarterback is going to give his team the best chance to win, i.e. avoiding mistakes and running the offense.
Right.
And a lot of them are saying Matt Castle.
Isn't that amazing? And we're talking about Brett Favre here.
You know, a lot of them were saying it's going to come down to who makes the most mistakes. Now, yes, it will. But the fact that that's a question when you're dealing with one guy who's making his ninth start or tenth start, whatever it is, and another guy who's making, you know, his 300th and millionth, you know, consecutive, how could that even be in question?
Yep. I think both teams have been stopping the run very well of late.
Yes.
Chris Jenkins is coming on in the middle there, and he's really solidified. They were a little bit porous early in the year, but they've really come around the Jets and run stopping. And obviously, we've seen the Patriots. They've been doing well. Yeah. So assuming both defenses can stop the run, that's going to leave it to the quarterbacks to convert third downs.
You know something about that, too, Fred, that you brought up? They have been great lately. But I don't think they were as bad early in the year as people remember in that first game. The Patriots got about 100 yards. I think they had 104 yards on the ground.
Yeah, a lot of it was late with Lamont Jordan.
They did Lamont Jordan did a very good job of grinding out the clock late in the game, which is very good for the Patriots.
Right.
But I don't think that the run defense for the Jets that day was necessarily a disaster. And I think we're remembering this like big running day for the Patriots, and I don't think they had it.
Yeah.
I think it was you know, like I said, Jordan was very, very strong late. Now, lately, they're only averaging about 70 yards allowed per game. And they've allowed, I think, four or five times they've allowed fewer than 50 yards on the ground. And that's Jenkins. That's one guy. You want to talk about one guy making a difference. Their run defense was terrible last year.
Yeah.
And they plug one guy in there that can actually play that nose tackle position.
Yeah.
And it makes all the difference.
I always liked
him
when he was with the Panthers. He just got hurt so often.
Yeah.
Every year he'd get hurt, and the next year I'd call him the comeback player, and he'd get hurt again.
He also they were criticizing him for being really, really overweight and lazy and not doing a lot of the stuff that he needed to do to get back. And, you know, maybe kind of being on the trading block and really for nothing. I mean, that was a fourth-round pick or something like that. You know, he got some money, but maybe that was an eye-opener for him. And he's kind of rededicated himself.
Well, and we're going to talk about the Jets game coming up, you know, a little bit more. Again, Ty Law we'll have to bring that up as well because that's big news. But I still want to focus on the Bills game for a moment. I like the way he spread the ball. I like the way they got Gaffney involved early. And, you know, he had a few catches throughout the game, nice catches. Again, we talked about Ben Jarvis Green. He had a phenomenal game. That but was... I think I give a lot of that credit to the offensive line. I think the offensive line is just playing as well as it has all season.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. I thought that, you know, we kind of wondered about all the sacks, saying that some of them have been their fault, some of them have been Castle's fault. Well, the sacks have gone away the last 2 weeks. And the running game just continues to pile up big, big yards. It's remarkable, the transformation of the offense. They went from a 60-40 pass run to, you know, fairly balanced in terms of run-pass ratio, but the yards.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
They're just getting
getting like 140 yards every game now.
I mean, there was one play where it was fourth and one, and I think they caught Ben Jarvis Green as soon as he got the ball. There was somebody in the backfield.
They
had, that was a miss.
They had like six third or fourth and shorts,
right?
And they got them all but one.
Yeah, that was a missed block. I think Watson missed a block or something. But, you know, for the most part, they're getting great push. And by the time, you know, unlike Maroney, and maybe it was because of Maroney and a lot of stuff early in the season, by the time Ben Jarvis Green is getting his first contact, he's already picked up 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah.
And that's the key. That's the key.
And
right
if they
there.
Can continue to do that and not make Castle have to put the offense on his shoulders, then I think they can continue to be successful and avoid those mistakes, but whether they be sacks or turnovers or whatever.
Yep.
Because he is starting to develop that pocket presence that we keep talking about the last 3 or 4 weeks. But, Fred, to me, even more impressive, and I thought offensively they were pretty impressive Sunday. I want to stay. I mean, I've been fairly critical, but the other side of the ball on defense, that was dominant.
Yeah,
that was 2003 like, and we got a phone call from Justin about 3 weeks ago. It was after the Rams game, and he had mentioned that he felt like the Rams game was an example of one of those old school games where the scoreboard didn't say it, but they were in control. And I disagreed. I those old school games, they were not getting the ball moved on them up and down the field, and winning tight. They were tight and. Like this game. This game was tight scoreboard. It's a 13-3 game, basically.
Right. Right.
You take out the last two touchdowns that both happened in the last 2 minutes. It's 13-3. That game might as well have been 113-3.
Right.
I mean,
I
gave you the nod 7-0. Just felt like the way that game started, the Patriots had come to play and Buffalo wasn't going to have any answers, and nothing that happened after that changed my mind. But, I mean, what did the Bills have? About 160 yards of offense?
Yeah.
That's just domination.
Just 120 yards passing.
Just utter total domination. They stuffed out. They suffocated Marshawn Lynch, who, by the way, he ran hard in that game.
Yeah, he sure did.
And they just didn't have any. He just didn't have anywhere to go.
No. Nope.
And then they put it on Trent Edwards, and we're seeing, you know, a couple of the mistakes. A really bad one in the first interception where he had Lee Evans wide open.
Yeah, he was.
And,
he had
and overshot
angle.
Him by a lot.
Yep.
But that's. I think the Patriots forced that a little bit. You know, sometimes I think turnovers just happen because of bad plays by the offense. Well, I think this was just good, sound defense that got some pressure. They didn't hound and harass him all day, but they got enough pressure that they made him probably a little uncomfortable in the pocket. They took away his running game, which made him one-dimensional, and it's hard to succeed that way.
You know, I question some of the Bills' coaching decisions.
Oh, yeah.
I think that you just can't play this game that conservatively in the NFL. You know, you just can't.
They had to have punted on third and short. I mean, I'm sorry, on fourth and short three times from Patriots territory.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you can I don't think you can pull upsets playing like that. I think it's one thing if you're by far and away the better team and you want to just make sure you don't do anything to give the other team incentive.
Yeah.
But when it's two evenly matched teams, or if you're slightly the underdog, as the Bills were, 3.5-point underdogs in this game, I think you have to come in and do some things out of the ordinary. I'm not saying you go for every one. I'm not saying like the St. Louis Rams came here. They went for a fourth down early in the game that they got. They had an onside kick that they recovered. And at the end of the game, they had a chance to win.
Yep.
They didn't win because the Patriots were that much better.
Right.
Well, I think Buffalo came to town with much more talent than St. Louis has.
Yep.
And they weren't anywhere near as competitive.
Nope.
And I think part of the reason for that, Fred, is mindset.
Yeah.
Right down to the first drive of the game, Wes Welker makes that catch near the sideline that was right on the sideline.
Right.
And Geron thought it looked funny. He had the red flag in his hand for a while. And then he dropped it. almost as if to say, I don't want to disturb anybody
here. Right, right.
But I think I might want that play reviewed.
Right.
God, I mean, yeah. You got to get
out there.
Belichick would have rifled that off the back of the referee's
That's
head.
That's right.
There's no way they would have gotten a playoff that Bill wanted to have challenged.
Yep.
And, you know, by the way, he was right.
Yeah.
Because he was out of bounds.
I think he had 1 foot out of bounds. We said it as soon as we saw the first replay. We thought that he might be out of bounds.
We were all going, hurry up, snap it.
That last drive, though, by Castle. I mean, at that point, maybe the Bills' defense was a little bit beaten. But, you know, 92 yards,
19 plays, 9 minutes, 8 seconds.
That is the longest drive in Patriots history. Quite an accomplishment for Castle. I mean, this guy, he's just making the right decisions.
Yeah,
he's not making mistakes.
In particular, Freddie, where I agree with you is they got off the goal. They were on their own 8, and I think they had a run for nothing and maybe 2 runs for nothing. They had 3rd and 9. From inside their 10-yard line, and he completed a 19-yarder to Sam Aiken.
Yep.
Of all people.
Right.
Sam Aiken over the middle, which illustrates your point that he is seeing the field better.
Yep.
He's spreading the ball around. Not that, you know, he would say, I got to get Sam Aiken involved, but
no.
Sam Aiken's the guy, obviously,
like
on his progression.
Said, if yes. he's open, that's the guy I'll pass
the intended
it to.
Receiver, right. My favorite receiver is the guy who's open.
Right.
He was wide open. There it was.
And
all of a sudden, they're off their goal line with 19 yards. They're out by the 30 now. Yeah. Changes the whole thing.
I mean, that just shows the confidence that Castle is getting, you know, because there's a lot of young quarterbacks who, you know, just rely on those one or two guys that they know that, you know, have the good hands and won't let them down. But, you know, to on a critical play like that, to make a pass to Sam Aiken, of all people, shows confidence. It also is good for Sam Aiken that, you know, here I am. I'm not a guy that catches a lot of passes, but you know, I'm getting a ball thrown to me 3rd and long, and I make the play.
Yeah.
That can only help everybody. You know, that's what was happening last year, where it doesn't matter who it was. When it was your time, you just made the play. You know, now if we could get Ben Watson doing the same thing, we'd be all set.
I think that ship has sailed.
You think
myself.
So, huh?
I do.
So, but it's just a lot of good signs for the Patriots. Now, this game coming up with the Jets, I think the Jets are a vastly improved team from where they were. You start with Favre.
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
He still is making mistakes that hurts his team. But at this point, you have to say that he's a little bit more familiar with the offense, with his receivers.
And he's not making as many as those,
right.
those mistakes. I mean, he has 12 picks, but I think he's only had...
Four or five of them came in one game, right?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of the game stretch, but I don't have the stats in front of me. I know he had none last week and one in the game before that against Buffalo. Yeah. So
six against Arizona.
Is that
six
the one?
Touchdowns? He had 6 touchdowns against Arizona. But I think he had 3 picks in the Kansas City win.
Okay.
He kind of made that, and that was sort of the game that I think, you know, Mangini's been on him, and that's been, you know, the big storyline in New York. And I'm working on the preview this week, Freddie. Mangini and Brian Schottenheimer have been sort of, you know, imploring him, you just need to take care of the offense. You need to take care of the ball better. And he hates that term, game manager, Favre
right.
does. But he is understanding it, and he's saying the right things now. And I think that he's looking, he's saying, hey, you know what, the defense is a little bit better. I have a running game a little bit here with Thomas Jones, who very quietly is putting together a pretty good season. I don't think he's a great running back by any stretch, but I think he's 2nd in the AFC in rushing. Mm-hmm. So he's a pretty good back. They have decent receivers with Coles and Cotchery and Chancey Stuckey, and the tight ends have been chipping in a little bit. Leon Washington is Kevin Falk, 2.0, whatever you want to say.
And the offensive line
line is getting better. He's not been really under a tremendous amount of pressure. So I think that he's finally starting to see, and the way that Mangini says it is, I want you to keep the driver in the bag.
Yeah.
You don't need to throw it all over the field
right.
every single week.
Right.
And I think that if he can do that, the Jets have a chance to win any game. If he doesn't and he puts the team in bad situations, I don't think they're good enough to overcome them often like they did against Kansas City when they just played a really bad team.
I looked at that score, you know, while it was coming through at 40-0 at halftime, like, oh, crap. Favre's probably having a huge day. He only had 170 yards and a touchdown.
He did what they needed him to do.
Right.
He threw one touchdown, and that came when it was already 30, I think it was 30. I think it made it 37-0 late in the first half.
Right. I think Thomas Jones had three touchdowns.
In the turnovers.
Yeah, and they had a turnover
creating.
For a touchdown.
Yeah. Now, I don't think their defense is as good as it's looked in some of these games. I think, especially without David Harris, that's an enormous loss for them. We're going to talk a lot about Adalys Thomas this week.
Right.
And the Jets, I'm sure, are talking a lot about David Harris. And their run stopping for their run stopping purposes, that's a big guy. You know who they've been playing? David Bowens at inside linebacker. Fred, he never played linebacker before. This will be his third career start at inside linebacker in the previous 2 weeks were the first two.
Yep.
They've been getting by with that, but that's not ideal. And I don't think that there's no chance he's back for this game. He had surgery to repair something on his groin. Groin problem. You know, God bless him. Yep. Groin problem, but. He's going to be out for about three or four weeks.
Well, it's going to be a great game to watch because you got Belichick versus Mangini. Both guys, you know, grew up as game plan type, you know, coaches. So you know that they're going to, you know, have something up their sleeve for each other. So it's just going to be really interesting to watch. And like you said, you know, you got some inexperience in the Jets defense. How are the Patriots going to try to take advantage of that? Same thing with the Patriots. You know, you got Adalys Thomas out. How is Mangini going to, you know, scheme something up to try to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. I think NFL Network, you know.
They hit with this game.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, when Brady went down, they were like, oh, crap, you know, this isn't as good a game as we thought it was going to be. I think they lucked out. I think this is going to be, a good game.
So. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's really an interesting matchup. And I think it's, you know, it's a first place battle.
Yeah.
But it's not one of these.
It's legit.
Yeah, it's not one of these conjured up NFC West type thing. I think that either one of these two teams with a win can find themselves in a pretty good spot in the AFC. I think that number two seed is up for grabs between the winner of this game and Pittsburgh. I don't look at it as that second bye is out of reach. And
right.
I think if the winner of this game, I think they're going to be right there with the, you know, with Pittsburgh when all is said and done. I think Pittsburgh is probably a little bit better, but their injuries are really piling
sure,
up too.
Sure. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dissect and analyze Phil from Nova Scotia's care package. We'll be right back. Oh, Gary. Gary's right here.
Gary's in the studio. It's going to be hard to take a break.
I thought Dan was back there. I turned around. He disappeared. All right, now we'll take a break. Now we'll take
Are you
a break.
Ready for some football?
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CMS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower for my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. And now, a blog reading from Dan Tugender. Tugender.
May 20th, 2008. Fred Kirsch, quote of the day. Fred always likes to spread his wealth of football knowledge with us and hit us with a winner yet again at passing camp. Dave Thomas making it look easy. Fred said as number 46, rookie free agent tight end Tyson DeVry hauled in a pass. For the record, David Thomas didn't practice and was not on the field at any time.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
It looked like 86. Anyway, hey, we're back here. Eric's back. Andy's back from Bill Belichick's press conference. Guys, why don't you, before we dissect and analyze Phil from Nova Scotia's care package here.
Oh, that's where that's from?
Yeah, why don't you tell us what happened with at Bill's press conference?
I'd love to, Andy.
Most of the questions, I'd say, were focused on the short week aspect and how the team's preparing and balancing the rest versus preparation.
Yeah, that young
that
guy
have to do.
Popped his press conference. You know what?
Yeah.
He asked like six in a row.
He sure did.
I'd love to, Andy.
Who's the young guy?
I don't know where he's from.
I think his name's Andy. Voight?
I don't know.
With Len Megliola, where does he work?
Oh, he works
Metro West.
Metro West.
Where Paul used to work.
Tall guy? Kind of tall.
The Worcester Telegram and Gazette?
What? I never worked there, by the way. Tall guy?
Yeah, kind of. Kind of tall.
I think I know the guy you're talking about. I don't know his name, though.
So there was that. There was some questions about the Jets and only one question about Ty Law. A couple of questions about AD and replacing him with Woods. And he kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. He'll do what's in the best interest of the team.
Yeah.
Well, it's Jets pre- Jets week, so you're going to be really, really quiet. So any interesting answers?
Right.
Not really.
No. He even had a snide. Somebody asked the Jets running game, is it about Jones playing better or the offensive line coming together? And he said it's all complimentary. You know, it doesn't come down to one person as you people always want it to or something like that or everyone always wants it to. Yeah. He was on edge.
It was a short week. He's got a lot on his mind, you know.
Okay. Said he feels like the game was a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With what everything they've done in the last couple of days and players
so
staying
late.
He's
probably not working on much sleep.
Also said, which I thought was interesting, because there were some reports out there that were that, you know, about Ty Law signing one team or another here or there or somewhere else. And Bill was asked if he had kept in touch with Ty Law, and he said he hadn't talked to him in a couple of months. A
couple months. Doesn't mean Pioli didn't call his agent
right.
Or Bill didn't call his agent. So
I like the quote that Ty Law said, it's going to be weird lining up all the guys I used to practice with. No, it isn't, because none of them were here when you were on the team.
funny. I thought that was a dumb update.
You know, so I love Ty Law. I wish the Patriots had him. I wish they had signed him, you know, and it could have worked out. But I don't like it when he says stuff like, I just wanted to go where I was wanted. Come on, will you?
That means to him, but he's being honest. He's telling you they gave me the most money.
Yeah. Mm.
He's never hidden that.
He's one of those rare guys that he makes no bones about it. It absolutely is about the money. Everybody else always says it's not about the money, but
I went where they
good or bad, he says it's about the money.
For a lot of fans, that sounds like the Patriots kind of shunned him, you know? And that's what he wants them to think.
That's what I was...
You know? And that's crap. That's just crap. I just don't like that.
You just don't like that... You have a button that turns your mic off.
What in the world are you doing?
I put the napkin up to my mouth.
That didn't stop us from
that really muffled
it.
It muffled one millionth of it.
Is this the man?
All right. So Bill's in Jets mode. He's being really quiet. Hi, how you doing, sir? Somebody, we're on the radio here. Yep. Okay.
A-hole.
One of our crack security people.
Wow.
What?
We're on the radio.
He smelled pizza.
He smelled pizza, so he just walked into the room.
You're on edge today. What's up with you?
What?
You're like Bill. Jets week for you, too?
Why are they opening doors?
I don't know.
Second time in 10 minutes, by the way.
To see what's on the other side?
We've been doing this for how many years, and that's never happened before?
My guess is they want to get in here for some reason, no? They're probably trying to set up that room out there, and we're not supposed to go through.
NFL Network people are probably causing a commotion. Oh, we need to get in here and there. And
they're probably asking Bill still.
There's a lot screaming going on here. NFL Network shows up 3 weeks before a game. They have to. No, it's game's Thursday.
I was going to say the game is Thursday.
All right.
It's technically a Friday.
They already have their little studio set up in the north end zone.
Prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
Little mobile studio set that they've got set up there.
Now, will they be discussing how the Patriots are going to lose because they couldn't rest their starters last week and then roll the clip of the question they asked post-game?
Right. We're trying to win the game. We're trying to beat the Buffalo Bills. They're a good football team. They're 5-3. We're trying to win the game.
Oh, you got to keep it going.
Yeah, come on,
you
the best part.
The best part is the end.
We're not going to rest anybody. It's the Buffalo Bills. They're 5-3. We're playing for first place. You don't rest when you're playing for first place. Come on.
I love that.
I
wanted to stand up and cheer when he was done.
I think what she meant is, are you kind of upset that you didn't get a big enough lead?
That is what she meant.
And it's a dumbass question.
It's a dumb question. It's the NFL, Fred.
Because,
when do you have the opportunity to rest starters?
I thought when you run up the score, you should.
He didn't do it when they were up 52-7. I didn't expect to do it in the 20-10 game.
People criticized him for that.
Well, that was for injury purposes, not because they wanted to rest anybody or whatever.
That's a dumbass question.
That's the only thing missing.
Give me a break with that crap. And you don't know what you're talking about. You're a jerk.
That is uncalled for, but I think the dumbass question would have been appropriate.
That's the only thing that was missing. I'm telling you, I wanted to stand up and cheer.
My favorite part, though, is he goes, it's the Buffalo Bills. Like, they're the defending four-time Super Bowl champs, and you got to get up for the Buffalo Bills. There's no resting involved. They stink.
Well, remember, we got to play them one more time. So.
That's true.
No, I thought everything
he said
was
perfect. We're trying to beat the Buffalo Bills.
First place, 5-3.
Oh, he got rolling. It was quick. That was he had Micro Machines man talking there.
I think he was, like, stunned that he got the question. I really
do. He was.
Do.
That's why he said, come on.
Come on. Love it.
I'm just stunned that reporters at that level can't ask their own questions.
And was it really even a reporter?
No.
No, that's my point. It was Kara Henderson's producer sitting right
for
next
NFL
to her.
Network.
Why doesn't the reporter ask a question?
You know, this isn't like, you know, fun and games time. People are actually there trying to work. You know,
we're here to work.
If you're not there filing a story or something.
She's there to be seen.
Shut up.
She's there to be seen.
It was, the only thing I can think is that they knew it was going to get some kind of response like that. And they wanted to have something snappy or whatever.
She asks other ones, too.
I can't understand that question.
Because I actually heard Kara Henderson say, like, and then that other woman was like, oh, yeah. So, like, she had to tell her, like, feed her the question, too. It's like.
Well, we used to have a few people here that would ask questions that you knew they weren't working on the story. It was just to have a conversation with Bill Belichick.
But that's fine, too. Just ask the question.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Isn't her job as a reporter to report on what Bill Belichick says and to ask him questions?
Yes.
But I know that got some attention. We got a lot of emails on that, so I'm glad Andy brought
it up. So essentially, she's a not-so-pretty face because she's not, you know.
Well, the producer
she's
is.
She's kind of a two-faced.
Really not.
Oh, really?
Not
yeah.
all that.
Oh, yeah. But
well, that's
even
another thing I have
the on-air talent who's like, you know, if she's there to be a pretty face and just collect the information, I don't think she's all that pretty a face.
Jonas Salk is on the phone. Where's he from?
Saban.
Durham. New Hampshire.
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
One of the two.
Jonas, how you doing?
Hey, Fred. How are you?
Good.
Not taking too kindly to your moronic little jokes.
Yeah, that's definitely the first time I've heard that one.
What, Durham, New Hampshire?
No.
Jonas Salk.
The polio thing.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to ask you guys about, I know you're talking about Ty Law a lot and whatnot. Did you see where the Jets released Justin Miller to make room for him?
Yeah, and I was saying to Andy, I didn't know that actually until you just said it, but I've been, from doing the first preview way back in week two when he couldn't seem to get on the field, and then, you know, eight weeks have gone by and he still can't get on the field. He is permanently plastered in Mangini's doghouse and evidently never was able to get out of it. I don't know. Maybe we got a little Eugene Wilson kind of correlation here. A guy who came in as a young guy, played a lot, showed some promise, did some things, and steadily got worse as time went by because he has not played at all for the Jets on defense all year. I didn't know he was the guy that they released to make room for him, but that's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly, like you said, he looked real good for, I don't know, what, a year or two?
If I were Bill, I'd be interested in him.
I would be too.
Yeah. I was just going
to
say.
Even just to rest Hobbs like you want to do. Make him your kick returner and allow Hobbs to just
stay
on defense.
I think that he's a guy who could play.
Really?
I loved his college tape coming out of Clemson. If I were Bill, I would definitely look into that.
And like Andy said, great return guy. That's another dimension.
That's success there in the NFL.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I mean, you know, he he's a DB first, you know, theoretically, and a return a second. But when was the last time? I mean, I know they drafted Slater mysteriously, but when was the last time, other than Bethel Johnson, the Patriots had a pure return man?
Well, I mean, he would be a backup. Secondary.
Yeah, he'd be a backup in the secondary, like Bethel Johnson was a backup receiver, and like Ellis Hobbs is a cornerback. You know,
he might not be a backup in the secondary right now.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know, I mean, but you know, the Jets have Hank Poteet. They got two kickers. You know, they must really.
And for a while, they had four quarterbacks. They just recently put the fourth quarterback on IR.
They're down to three. They got Ratliff and Clemens and, well, number four.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just, you know, the two kickers, they have, I don't know, just seems kind of odd. Hank Poteet, you know, like if Justin Miller less valuable than Hank Poteet.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's like saying the Patriots cut Chad Jackson and had no depth at receiver. It was time for Chad Jackson to go, and Bill didn't care if he had no depth.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I mean, if Miller's really that bad, then nobody wants him.
It seems like it's reached that point in New York that they're just done with him, you know, fed up. And whether that is like Chad Jackson, where no one wants him until Denver signs him, you know, 2 months later, I don't know.
Is he still in Denver? Like, is he still on their roster?
I think so.
As far as I know, the
difference is, to me, even just as a kick returner, Justin Miller's proven he can do something in the NFL, kind of like Bethel Johnson did for a couple of years.
Right.
So that's why I would
look
at him.
And he wasn't a bad corner either early in his career. Now, I don't know if he wasn't a bad corner because, hey, for a rookie corner, he's not bad, or he just never got any better than that. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. But there must be something up there because if you have a decent corner, he's active.
And I'll also say that their starter opposite Darrell Revis, who everybody is pretty much universally agreement on Revis, is a terrific player. Someone calling him a top five corner already, just his second year. The other guy is Dwight Lowry, who was a rookie fourth-round pick who had a really good training camp and played reasonably well early in the season, but I guess from the reports that I read this week, his play has started to decline a little bit. So so if they have a guy who's in the decline, and then they're, you know, as you said, Jonas, that they're signing, you know, they have guys like Hank Poteet, who we know are stopgap measures at best, and they're getting rid of guys like Justin Miller. You wonder just exactly how far Justin Miller had dropped in Mangini's eyes.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Eugene Wilson's out of the league right now, isn't he?
I think he's in Houston.
Is he?
I thought he was with Houston.
Who?
Eugene Wilson.
Oh, yes,
he got cut by Tampa, and then
he didn't even make it to week one in Tampa.
Right. He got cut in training camp in Tampa, and he hooked on with Houston. I think
Kubiak, I believe, was sort of raving about the professionalism he was bringing to the locker room.
Which is astounding, because that was the one major knock on him here, is that, you know, on game day he was fine, but it was the other 6 days a week that they didn't necessarily know what he was doing.
All right, Jonas, is that it?
I wanted to ask you about the Miller.
I'm
so surprised.
All right, Jonas. Thanks, Jonas. Say hi to your brothers.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Jonas Brothers?
Jonas Brothers Band?
I was just handed that.
I love how he turns into Mr. Kraft. I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know.
I don't know from the Jonas Brothers.
I don't know from the Jonas Brothers.
Kraft and mayo go together.
All right. So
four words.
Mayo.
All right. As promised, we had this care package from Phil in Nova Scotia, and I want to read the letter from Phil. He says, as I write this letter, I am only a few hours away from leaving for Foxborough for the game this weekend. It would have been the Bills game. It will be a 12-hour trip in the family minivan with three friends, two of which are Bills fans. Not sure how much trouble four married guys in their late 30s can get in, but we will try. I just hope that the Pats win, or it will be a really long drive home to Nova Scotia. Also, I've been eating lots of beans, raw turnips, and green peppers today in a road trip. It's a road trip with a good offense is the best defense. I guess so. Okay, enough BS about me. This is a Nova Scotia care package that I made for you guys.
That's Nova Scotia care package.
Right. All the things are products of Nova Scotia and things I really like. Hopefully you guys will like them, too. A few of these things deserve further description. Okay, so...
I'll hold them up, Fred, as you go.
Okay, is that Keith's Ale?
This is Alexander Keith's India Pale Ale.
Okay, this is...
official beer of the Aubier.
This is not only the most popular...
Why don't you just have Eric read it?
Eric can read French, right?
I see what you did there, of course.
Why don't you read that?
Eric's here.
Why don't you read that?
Where's Mike, by the way?
Practice.
A lot of this stuff might be in French... Eric, so
well, that's why I suggested that maybe he read it.
Yeah. So what is this, Eric?
French. He's never French kissed a girl. But...
right. What?
That's a girl.
I said girl. Oh, I'm taking the coffee.
Eric, just read it.
I don't see any French on here, Fred. That's what I'm trying to find.
He can't read the English.
What is below official beer of the house?
Of the house.
Where are you reading that?
Biere officie de sua.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Where are you reading that?
On right. the can.
Let me go on here.
Or the bottle.
I have that on there.
I thought I'd get a little comedy out of Eric.
Oh, what's worse than that? It actually doesn't say that on his can.
It says it on mine.
All right. Anyway, Keith's Ale, this is not only the most popular beer in Nova Scotia, but it is also part of our cultural identity. Nova Scotian mothers use this to wean their babies off the teat. Is that right? That's interesting.
Beer from the teat?
No, they use this beer to wean their babies off the teat.
The best part is it comes in an 8-pack.
Wow. All right.
Notice it?
The other thing is a DVD. It's called Trailer Park Boys.
Eric, don't get excited. It's not a porn.
This is a very popular Canadian series filmed and based in Nova Scotia. This may be too Canadian for you guys to get, but I think the show is great. But then I also liked A Life Aquatic. All right, Phil. Good for you.
Philip.
Good for a young Ellen Page. Or look for a young Ellen Page in the show. Who was Ellen Page? She related to the Jonas Brothers?
She was in Juno. Juno, the movie.
Oh, Juno. I didn't see that.
The other thing
is Matt Mays in El Torpedo. This is a CD. Great band from the Halifax area. Their live shows are incredible, so if you like the CD, look for their next time they tour New England.
Okay.
That's that. And then also there is Just Us Fair Trade Coffee Mocha Java Blend. It's the best hippie coffee in the world, and maybe even better than a coffee that rhymes with Tunkin' Ponuts.
They are a sponsor.
In closing, thank you guys for so many hours of free entertainment and information. I hope maybe to see you guys sometime. Well, maybe not at all. Not all of you guys.
Oh.
There's a who's he P.S. Fred, sorry for the handwriting. My printer crapped out. Please distribute these things as you like. Just make sure Eric and Gary are somewhat included. So great. So we have there's also cookies and all kinds of stuff.
The blueberry things are yummy.
Yeah.
Blueberry. Have you had one already?
Pinwheel? What?
The pinwheel?
Fred had one yesterday.
Well, yeah,
either that or a rat got into the box.
Well, you know. I had
the other ones there, the chocolate ones.
Double chocolate or something.
Nice.
Are they chocolate chips?
I don't know.
Somebody's at the door.
Hi, this is Christina Acker from Patriots Today.
Jackpot.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
Well, courtesy of Phil, we have Canadian backhoe. That's Canadian backhoe. And I guarantee you, when you read the definition, you're not going to think it's funny until the last word just totally buttonhooks you and you don't expect it coming.
All right. Canadian backhoe.
Whoa. Yeah. You're right about that.
Eric just got offended.
That's, I don't get offended, Fred.
No. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio at patriots.com.
Two genders are going
to
lose
it. And we're all very excited here before we get back to football talk. Five Guys Burgers and Fries is now open at Patriot Place. So we're going to eat there tomorrow.
We are?
Yeah.
Are we going there?
Yeah, or are they bringing to us?
Was I not supposed to read that?
No, someone's providing it for us.
Really?
Oh.
A listener?
Dan?
So I'm going over the patriot-place.com website this morning. And if anybody's been to that website, they have these hero shots that kind of flash by, you know, representing different establishments.
Presented by Raytheon.
Right. And you get to the one with Five Guys. And apparently the only photo they had was an old guy wiping off a chair in the restaurant. So I immediately said, I think we can do better than that. Hopefully
it's changed. You just got a picture of me standing out in front. Fat guys eating
knocking
burgers.
On it, looking in like, are you guys open yet?
But if anyone is wants to keep track of what's happening at Patriot Place, patriot-place.com. Anytime there's a new opening.
Life is good.
Yeah, Dashplace.com, Freddie.
Not hyphen?
Dash.
Patriot-place.com.
Place. Anyone?
How do you spell that? S-C-H?
Why is dash difference? Better Anybody? Than hyphen?
Mm. Eric, what's the difference?
That's probably what all his commercials say.
Once again, he doesn't.
He's useless.
What's the difference
He's
between
like
a dash
teats on a bull.
You know, only in the NFL. I'm watching the ESPN News Channel, and they have like the scroll going by. Falcons tackle Sam Baker.
Oh.
In parentheses, back surgery. Not expected to play Sunday. Only in the NFL. where could you have back surgery and you could play 4 days later? I don't know.
Hope that doesn't affect the rest of his career.
All right. So
you're a big fan of his.
Big Baker fan.
So, guys, Paul and I talked about the Bills game, but you were at Bill Belichick's press conference. Any views, ponderings, analysis that you want to give us about the Bills game just gone by?
I just felt the whole game, it just seemed like the Bills weren't there to play. They just seemed like they weren't a team fighting for first place.
Starting from the head coach. Shut on.
We talked about that a little bit. His lack of aggression. I brought up the situation with St. Louis from 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever when it was. They came to town with far less talent, in my opinion, than Buffalo. They went for a fourth down early. They got it. They went for an onside kick. They got it. Didn't result in anything. But in the aftermath of all their aggressive play in the first three and a half quarters, they went down the stretch with an opportunity to win the game, and it was tied with 3 minutes left. Buffalo, in my mind, is far better than St. Louis. They spanked St. Louis earlier in the season in St. Louis, and they had no chance to win the game. And I think part of the reason, obviously I'll give most of the credit to the Patriots for that, but part of the reason was because I don't think they came to win.
I
think just the way Eric said it is exactly right.
You think that's a product of a, I don't know if disrespect is the right word, but for the Patriots right now and expecting that every game is going to be close so you don't have to take chances because you can kind of come around in the end. You know Matt Castle's not going to put 42 on you in the first half. So maybe some coaches are playing not to lose
that
or playing tight.
Well, my question during the game, I looked at Paul and said, do you think that they're overrating the Patriots' defense?
Yeah. Well, I think teams are overrating the Patriots a little and just playing scared rather than trying to take it to them.
Well, that's what I feel because I think that unless you're vastly superior to your opponent, you need to have some level of aggressive nature to your game. You know, I think Bill has done it. Often in the past, even when he didn't have, forget 2007 when they were head and shoulders better than everybody else, but there were plenty of games between 01 and 06 that they weren't head and shoulders the best team in football, but they acted like that all the time. And I think that kind of trickles its way and permeates your team. I think you need to go for fourth and shorts on the other side of the field. I think you, as a basic rule, I think you need to go for a fourth down in less than a yard when you're on the other team's side of the field.
Actually, they had three fourth downs. One was, I think, a fourth and long, but they had two very
well. The fourth,
very
but
shorts.
The fourth and 11 came when they're down 13-3
right,
with
so
9 minutes left in the game. What are you waiting
point.
For?
Right. The you other know, two like, were though.
I think a lot was made of the Patriots' game-ending drive.
Yeah, the
19-play drive, which was outstanding for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think the game was over.
Oh yeah,
I think the game was over.
Yeah, that, that
and it
touchdown
was over
afterwards
because
was kind of
the Bills didn't try.
Fluke.
The Bills didn't try to get the first down, and I think that ended the game. I think you punt there, and then to make matters worse, and Andy and I were talking about this at the game itself. It's 3rd and 9 on the play, the big play to Sam Aiken, Freddie, that we talked about. They rushed like 3 guys, 4 guys. They didn't even go out. To me, you got to blitz like 6 guys. Inside. The only way I can win this game is if I force Matt Cassel into doing something stupid.
I mean, look what the Eagles do. And they do it so well. And I know they have a great defensive coordinator. But they send pressure, and
but
it always seems at the right time.
They don't have a great defense.
No.
Because when that pressure doesn't get there, they always allow a lot of points.
Yes, you're right.
So he does
that.
But they take
chances.
He does that to cover up. It's not like, well, geez, who couldn't be good with that defense? It's not like he has the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens.
Right.
He covers up, I think, of a lot of his team's deficiencies by playing so ridiculously aggressive.
All right, I hate to eat and run, but thank you, Phil, from Nova Scotia. I have to go. I have a meeting. So you guys will carry on.
And you definitely will not be joining us for the TV show.
I won't be there for the TV show.
All right.
I got to go.
You're going to make poor sick Andy do it. Go in and do it.
Well,
on
that
his
means
own.
You're going to have to go read emails, Eric.
All right.
All right, goodbye.
You didn't log off, did you?
No.
Okay.
John in L.A.
I have to log off.
Why do you have to log
off?
No,
I'm not going to log off. I'm just going to – you can't use my email.
I'm not going to use your email.
All right. So.
Oh, boy. I'd be having some fun.
All right, well, let's talk to John in L.A. John, what's going
John,
on, my friend?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Not well.
I got a little worried earlier when Fred was talking about the old man wiping off the back of the chair. I thought he was going to say wiping off the back of the chair on her father.
Oh. You went online.
Wow.
I did. I went online. Well, I didn't know it. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I went online. You're right. That's quite a button hook, that last word.
I didn't see it coming.
Sure is.
I didn't think it was coming.
That was like I see dead people. I didn't see it coming.
Well, I saw that
exactly.
This I didn't see coming.
I wanted to make Neither a preemptive phone call and make sure that we don't have loser fans calling and saying, should we get Justin Miller now that the Jets cut him?
Because it's funny. We kind of think they should get Justin Miller because the Jets just got him. And
I'm not necessarily. I don't necessarily mean right now. I just think that's a guy that they should be looking into. That's
I do too.
I think he's a talented player
because of you. You made a strong argument that Ellis Hobbs is valuable on defense and should not be returning kicks. Well, here's a guy who can return kicks. He's the only guy I've seen because there's no other guy on this roster.
Return kicks, sure.
I don't mean necessarily for 2008. I just think that he's a guy that has some talent, and for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out with the Jets. But
he's one of those perfect guys. You sign him now to a 2-year deal, and you get next year out of it.
Right.
Kind of Jabbar Gaffney-ish.
Exactly. Maybe he's a colossal jerk, and that's why it's not working out, and that's why Eric
cut him. How bad does that guy have to be? How bad does he have to be for the Jets to cut him so that they can then go sign Ty Law?
Well,
but you don't think Ty Law is better than him?
A pretty good player in this league, despite what I heard.
I mean, the Patriots were trying to sign Ty Law on Monday.
Player, it takes a lot to cut a young player who does have some dynamic skills, who was a number one pick not that long ago.
Which is why I said maybe he's a colossal jerk, because I don't think talent is the problem.
Well, he had that issue a couple of years ago with the hitting the girl or whatever, and then running away and hiding or something.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know. I don't want any people.
But, I mean, it happens. Well, but, yeah, I mean, you know, I said Chad Jackson earlier. Chad Jackson was not a colossal jerk. He didn't have any record.
He seemed a little immature, but I didn't know of any, like,
but
legal trouble.
He's physically
that he had.
Talented. Now, he stinks as a football player, but just in terms of measurables, and they cut ties with him. And as I said, nobody else was all that interested for a long time.
And how many times have we seen a player on either one of these two teams get cut and signed almost immediately by the other team, especially when it's this close to a game against that same team? I mean,
of course, now the trouble is if he's being cut because he's a jerk and didn't know the defense or something and couldn't play, then.
And, you know, maybe in another year this doesn't happen, but with all the injuries in the secondary this year, maybe it's sort of they're forced to take, you know, consider him for,
I'd roll the dice,
however long they need him. So.
By the way, is this the beginning of the Vince Red era now that Adalis is out for the season?
No.
No?
And I speak
as... You're not going to be activated to the...
No, I don't believe... I am the head of the fan club for Vince Red, and I think if he plays, you're in trouble.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think there's a slot that's now we're all bumping up one.
Well, no, I think they need to find somebody who can play linebacker, whether... You think it's Roosevelt Colvin or Junior Seau? I mean, they lost a guy that was a major part of that rotation at linebacker, and to just think they're going to fill it with Pierre Woods and Gary Guyton playing more, I think is a recipe for danger. Danger.
That's what we talked about at the beginning of the show. That's what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to fill within and go that route. And I think I did say that I feel like this injury is the second really significant injury they've suffered after Brady.
Yeah. What about Rodney? They don't have a backup. What about Rodney?
Rodney, they had 2 starters. They had 3 guys that were starting, and now they have 2 guys that are starting at a position that you only need 2 at.
So you're saying significant in that who they had to back up?
Yeah. Okay. Well, significant, period. I don't think Rodney was playing that well either. And I am the king of the Rodney fan club.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've gotten better play out of your safeties, to be quite honest with you, than you were getting. And the running back situation was even more so. You had five guys. Now, and I said this to Fred, I didn't expect Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to be the guy that was, you know, getting 100 yards like he did last week, but I thought somebody would.
I need to read Bill's quote on that because, damn it.
I'd love to.
He didn't want to answer my question today.
You asked a question?
Oh, yeah. But unlike others, I learn quickly and I just leave.
he was
all right, we're not playing today, Bill. I'll talk to you tomorrow maybe when it's a little less tense.
Following up on the Ty Law question.
I just asked him how much time and in what way they would spend preparing for Law, and he said,
hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing?
We'll prepare from him in whatever role they're going to put him in. And I go, yeah, but you don't know that. And he goes, well, they played for him a couple of years. He played for him a couple of years ago, and I was thinking, all right, thanks for playing, Bill. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, because clearly he's not going to be playing in the role he was a couple of years ago.
Right.
They already
now
said
everyone
he's going to play
safe. Right.
Is John still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What's going on, my man?
I wanted to ask Andy. You played football at Tufts, right?
Yes.
Did you lose to Trinity every time? That's where I went.
No, I don't believe so. Trinity has gotten better of late.
Well, no, Trinity literally did not lose a game the 4 years I was there.
They
were on ESPN a couple of years ago for having the longest.
Right, but they've won like 6 of 8, and I'm like 10 years out of school.
Boring.
Yeah.
I guess so. John, what years were you at Trinity?
87 through 91.
Oh, okay. So you're a little older than.
Oh, you're older than I thought, John.
Yeah.
You're
my age.
When I was there, it was Williams and Amherst, as always, were competitive for the league. Williams had a couple great years, and I believe Hamilton had a great year one of the years I was there.
Because
receiver out on the big guy.
I coached a kid at Wellesley High for baseball who I think played quarterback at Trinity, but probably closer to the mid 90s. Joe Mulaney. And he was pretty good.
We should have a Nespack radio show.
Yeah, talk to Jonathan and Dan Kraft about it. They'd be all for it. They're trying to get games down here. The biggest little game in America. Bring them on down.
I watched a little of that this week.
What is an F, by the way?
Purple cow. Well, I don't know if it's actually a purple cow, but they're the purple cows. Like that's, I don't know if
it's that's, one,
like
that's one of those schools that has two nicknames.
Does
right?
F mean
like
purple
Auburn,
cow?
Like Auburn's the Tigers and the War Eagles.
Yeah, War Eagle.
Maybe. I just know like is purple that, cow is what they have.
Is it short for like heifer? Maybe.
Yeah.
Like
Mother Effer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right, so Lamont Jordan, you guys?
What's that?
Lamont Jordan. It looked like he was going to play last week, and then he didn't. Do you think there's any chance they were like, you know what, let's just give him one more week and keep him fresh for Thursday's game?
Or he had a setback.
You know? Yeah, I don't think – I think there's a chance that he plays this week, but I don't think that your scenario as to why would be accurate. I think if he could have played Sunday, he would have.
And it seems like we're getting closer to Sammy Morrison. I mean, he was – I know it's – to show the other team, but he was on the field running around pregame last week, and that's a good sign. That I mean, you know, maybe he's still 2 weeks away, but you're starting to get in that window where he's an option to come back in the next couple weeks.
We have not seen him in the locker room, though.
I haven't seen either of them.
I saw Sammy yesterday.
Sammy, yeah. I mean, Lamont, I'm talking about.
I haven't seen him since last week, Friday.
When he was sleeping on the floor?
Right.
All right, John.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
A very good Bill Belichick quote on Ben Jarvis Green Ellis that I would like somebody to put in Ask PFW when they
That's
who's
Mike.
Doing it. He was asked, and he went into a long answer, serious guy, same guy, he said, from practice squad to now playing. He's been the exact same guy. But he also said
I was at the game.
He's doing the best that he can, and that's not bad. That's how I feel about him. He's doing the best that he can. He's getting what he can get. But all these people that think he's like replacing Lawrence Maroney as the starter heading into next season on the rebuilt Patriots powerhouse offense, I think is a little ridiculous.
You know, that's another item that kind of came up this week, and it's not like that we have all these storylines that we need with the Jets coming in a first place battle, but Lawrence Maroney did a little meet and greet yesterday with some fans in one of the Reebok stores here at Patriot Place, and
presented by Raytheon.
Well, no,
presented by
Hall.
Raytheon.
I know, but he likes to just throw Raytheon around like it's.
And he sort of addressed the quote unquote issues, which it's funny because I didn't think he did anything to clear up what the issues were at all. But the two reports that I read, one seemed to indicate that he did plenty to clear them up, and the other one seemed to indicate that he did nothing to clear it up.
Yeah, the reports were saying that he definitively said it was the shoulder that was the issue he was referring to.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
That's the way the story was.
I thought
written,
he said it.
That was the Globe story that I read that kind of said that.
Yeah.
His quotes didn't say that. I don't know how you guys felt about it. Did you not read any of it?
There were the Globe and the Herald report.
Yeah, it was the same quote, same information, but I thought they both got two different interpretations. Mm. And yeah. I kind of sided based on what the quote said. I kind of sided with the Herald report, which
did shock everything but Patriots. Paul Perillo aligning himself with the Herald yet again.
Wait a minute, this had nothing to do with anything pro or this was just a Lawrence Maroney story. It had nothing to do with if you took one side, it was pro Patriot. If you took the other side, it was anti Patriot. Not normal Globe Herald stuff. This was just kind of an interpretation of what he said.
Well,
he's also tough to understand when he's talking about the upcoming opponent. Never mind when he's talking about serious issues.
He said in both that he regretted, and this is why I don't think he did anything to tell you what the issues were. He regretted not being able to explain in full to the fans what the deal is. You know, and they both said to him.
Well, there was one good quote where he said he almost didn't go to this event because he knows how he would think if my team's first round pick.
Yes, yes.
I thought that was one of the better quotes he's ever had. Like admitting he can understand fans' frustration with what he is after where he came from as the first round pick.
I don't think there's a lot of fake aspect to Lawrence Maroney. I think he kind of wears it out there for you to see. I think I don't necessarily think he's one of those disingenuous guys that doesn't really let you know what. I think he has a hard time not letting you know what he feels.
The other thing he said too, one of the quotes he had was about his self-confidence, and he said, "Yeah, I'm confident. I'm always confident as long as." And he had this caveat. He says, "As long as the fans and everyone are behind me, I'm confident." Which kind of tells me that
you're false.
If they're not, then you're not.
You need to
be confident.
Confident when not everybody's behind you.
Right.
I just think it was interesting that. He said he sort of expressed regret that he couldn't explain in full what he was talking, what the deal is with his injury and how much pain he's been in and blah, blah, blah. And it was also an inaccuracy in the Globe story because it said that when he talked about all these issues, Eric, I don't know if you read at the very beginning.
Yep.
And it said 2 days later he went out against San Francisco and didn't play. And,
he did play.
He talked about the issues, but he went out against San Francisco and didn't produce much. He only had a couple of carries. That the issues press conference happened in between the San Francisco and San Diego games. Mm-hmm. We were out there in California for the whole week. That was after the San Francisco game.
And then that was in between.
He said that on the Friday, he said, I have issues. And 2 days later, he did not dress against San Diego.
Right.
So I think that's different than the way it was portrayed in that story.
Yeah.
Just another thing that kind of
the Herald story.
Ombudsman.
The Herald story says Maroney remained guarded about his health except to say he was playing in pain after sustaining that injury on September 14th against the Jets and that he was about to start a 9-month program to, quote, get stronger and get better.
Get better.
Did he require surgery or have surgery? And Maroney wouldn't say. There were hints, however, that the shoulder was pretty bad. And when asked if he was surprised to be on the season-ending injured reserve list, Maroney shot back, I'm surprised I lasted as long as I did. When the details come out, you'll be surprised that I went that long.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, when the details come out. So I don't think he did very much to...
No, but people were speculating, blindly about what he was talking about. I think the details that he said is it's football. It's football-related. And the first time, he didn't leave it open to just football-related.
Yeah,
I think that's what was clarified.
He did say that it's football-related.
I think people were blindly speculating that there was a lot of things that it could have been related to, and now at least he kind of narrowed it down between the lines, his job as a Patriot.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. In that regard, I guess you're right. I don't necessarily believe that, though. But he did say it was football-related. He did use that term. You're right, Andy.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. The phone number, we're going to get back to your emails and phone calls right after this.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
That one gets me every time. The inimitable Fred Kirsch.
I liked that one, too.
Inimitable.
Inimitable.
Spell it. Not you, him.
Oh. I am Mittable. Greasy-haired guy?
He's got a little Andy Hart right between his eyes.
I am Mittable.
Oh. Usually has him right between his legs. Anyway. Back to the emails.
That is not okay.
Ping pong.
Gay guy on the show.
Ping pong.
Hey, heterosexuals. And Eric. I can finally listen live today because I don't have any school. Yeah, well, you don't have any class either, kid. They
ping
came
pong.
On Sunday.
Maybe it's just that chair. You have to go into that like W.C. Fields voice every
ping
time.
Ping pong.
You...
Ping pong.
Oh yeah, Veterans Day. No school today, right?
Apparently, ping pong needs to go to more classes because this ping thing pong. Is rife with misspellings and bad punctuation. This kid is
not
this
only
kid
that,
is an
but
idiot.
It's littered with them.
Isn't it trite, by the way?
What?
When something is repetitive and cliche? And...
Trite. Yes.
Okay. Well, I read somewhere today it said tripe, and isn't that like the lining of a cow's stomach?
Yeah,
that's
food.
A dish.
Yes.
And I think it's the lining of the cow's stomach. It's
a
really gross dish.
It's disgusting.
That, like old people eat.
Right.
I think my grandfather used to eat it. Why he's dead.
Yeah, I don't know if it has anything to do with age, but...
You know young people that eat tripe?
No.
All right. Anyway, back
Andy
to the email.
Wins again.
I don't know really anybody that eats tripe, though.
I don't either. He died.
What do you mean, again?
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
Sorry.
My God, ping pong. You should have hired a tutor
he's
because
not,
this is,
he,
this
hey,
is awful.
He's not in school today.
Right.
I know he should be.
But
this email
it's
is
a relaxing
atrocious.
Day. The day is off. His mind is just... He's just typing freely.
All right. I'm going to read it exactly the way he wrote it.
Why?
I can...
Why don't you read it like a human being, not like Fred?
All right. The game on Sunday was nothing short of great. A couple things I saw from the game. One, the pass protection held up good against the Bills' large D-line.
It's supposed to be well.
Well, thank you.
Well,
no,
it
but
is,
the other
yes.
Look at this. All the game on Sunday was nothing short of great. A couple of things I saw form the game.
Acapulco?
Awful. It's going to be a shame.
You're
right. You're a terrible
can't
host.
Read stuff from
why
people
is it Mike
who type like idiots?
All right. Back to the O-line. They did an admirable job run blocking with only one sack. I bet Eric was disappointed. He writes in parentheses. Do you think that Castle's learning when to step up and avoid sacks, or do you think the O-line is getting healthy and starting to play better? I'd say a little bit of both.
Well, except for Stephen Neal, who...
Yeah, he had a little bit of a setback. It
I think
like.
It's Castle. I really do.
I do
think
too.
He's just developing, and I didn't... You know, I didn't give the offensive line all the credit last year when Brady was never getting sacked, and I didn't give the offensive line all the blame this year when Castle was getting sacked, you know, five and six times every week.
I mean, he used to literally do the deer in headlights thing where he would fall down behind center like a baby and go in the fetal position. He doesn't do that anymore.
No,
he picks his
better.
Spots. Mm-hmm. We've seen him now roll out to the right and throw on the run. We've seen him do different things rather than just, first guy's covered, fall.
And the thing I like the most is that he's actually staying in the pocket when it collapses, stepping up and making that throw like Brady would normally do.
And let's put some of it on the coaching staff, too. They've now had several games to understand what exactly Matt Castle does best and how he handles some of these situations. And they're probably doing their best to get him in the ones that he handles well and keep him out of the ones that he doesn't.
I think that's a big deal, by the way. You know the whole baseball thing about getting a book on a guy? We're starting the second round of Matt Castle games.
Oh, yeah, I do. I think that defenses will find out how they're using him.
Because I was going to ask Bill that until I realized he was in
him. It wasn't one of those days.
No, I mean, do I think it's a huge deal and gives the Jets a huge edge today? No. I mean, Thursday. No. But I do. Don't you think that it only comes to stand to reason that the defense also has a little bit of a
book? As Bill would say, it's both
balanced.
Ways. He has an idea, and it's whoever reacts
better. Matt Castle's
better.
A hell of a lot better today than he was in week two when he played that game.
Sure was.
But my only point would be, you compare it to young players in baseball. Generally, they do really well the first time around. Then a lot of them, even the great ones, struggle the second time around, and then they figure it out the third time
around. The really good ones make the adjustments to the adjustments.
His third time around isn't going to be for the Patriots or here, so... If he struggles in the second time around, it's going to hurt the Patriots.
See Jacoby Ellsbury.
I'm not sure he's good.
But that's my point. He was great. They adjusted to him, and he's having a hard time adjusting to the adjustment.
All right. Number two from Ping Pong. The law firm was in business. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis looked better than Maroney for most of the game. You think the Patriots will let Maroney go dance on Dancing with the Stars and keep the all-name Patriot to carry the load? If he continues to develop, he could become a good running back. It's still a little too early, but...
Are we going to do a practice report? You wanted to sit there and read retarded emails all day.
I was going to get through this one first before we announce that you're back, okay. Mr. Attitude. Huh? So how about you sit there and wait till we finish this, and then
everybody
we'll
else walks
report.
In, they get their practice report right out. I got to sit here and get crapped on.
If you can't get it up, that's your problem.
Oh, you know
get
what
it
time
out.
It is?
Piss on mic time. It's always that. He's always the most miserable person on the planet.
I know.
All right, this
know.
Practice report
me.
Brought to you by Joey Calzaghe.
Brought to you by Midol.
Pride of Wales.
That's Midol for
brought to you
Mike
by CES. Friends.
Just go.
You're a
I gave
your
uncle
idiot.
A plug
you
there,
that?
And nothing. Nothing.
Anyway. Today was a walkthrough. They did nothing out there.
Oh, good. I'm glad we jumped right down to this practice report.
So it took you 45 minutes to get a walkthrough?
I stopped for a bite to
I
eat.
See. I see.
No, I didn't stop for a bite to eat. Yeah, they just came out there in their, you know, their sweats, and they were in the dome playing around in some kickoff returns, doing some scout team stuff. Guys walking around, guys on ellipticals. Nothing really big. No Sammy Morris, no Adalys Thomas out there. I'm sorry, I said no Sammy Morris. I meant no Lamont Jordan.
Sammy Morris was out there
in his knee brace, just
good
walking
sign.
Around.
Well,
but they were all walking around, so we don't really
Lamont
know what
Jordan
that means.
Lamont Jordan wasn't?
He was not out there, no.
To walk around?
I'm
nope.
wondering if he had a setback.
I think we did. I think now we can say he did
yes.
instead
we can
of
necessarily
this,
say
the answer
it now?
That Bill gave us last week. Well, I think it's much more obvious now. That's my take on it anyway.
Well, so he can call it a dome, but I can't call it the beautiful practice facility.
I wasn't listening. Oh. As soon as he said it was a walkthrough, I stopped listening.
Inside the dome, he said.
Were there any new faces out there?
A couple of cameramen I haven't seen before.
Oh, my God.
I mean, on the roster, like Adalys
no.
Thomas.
You made me interrupt the poor kid's email for this.
So Roosevelt Colvin wasn't there?
No, Roosevelt Colvin
Victor Hobson?
No.
Junior Seau?
No.
Vince Redd? Was not extremely
Roman
giddy.
Roman Pfeiffer?
Dan Klecko?
Vince Red was out there, yes.
Was he giddy, like he just got news that he's on the active roster?
Yeah, he was doing backflips and cartwheels.
He could.
He moonwalked all the way to the field.
He actually had a T-shirt, and on the back it said, I'm on the roster.
He borrowed it from Ray Ventrone?
Listen, what do you want here? It was a walkthrough.
All right, so
you could have said before you said, oh, I got to get my practice report. Everybody else gets to put the practice report up. I don't get to tell my...
Oh, before we read it on Reese's Pieces, might as well get it out here now.
I don't read Reese's Pieces.
All right, so Maroney... Given what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is doing.
Fred, if you're listening, please
second
come
question.
Back.
It's amazing how the show just falls apart at the seams without Fred.
Nothing's falling apart. It's fine.
Okay, then answer the
Continue
question.
Continue reading.
So, it's just a fun Maroney, fact. Has he seen his last days here? That's basically what Ping Pong is asking.
No.
I'm convinced now he won't because I don't think, number one, they could even trade him if they tried. I don't think anybody would take him. They wouldn't give up much for him, so there'd be no sense of making the move. And they're not going to cut him. And Ben Jarvis Queen Ellis is not Walter Payton. That's why.
Well, can we also say, I've been fairly critical of Maroney, but can we also say that Maroney's had 4 or 5 days that were better than what Ben Jarvis Queen Ellis did?
Sure.
So this whole,
probably more than that.
This whole, he looks better than Lawrence Maroney.
He's knackered.
Is not accurate.
It's just because what people, the last thing people saw from Maroney was bad, and they see a guy get a 100-yard game, and people jump to conclusions.
I'm as disappointed about Maroney as anybody. I thought this was the year. I was convinced the way he finished last year that he was going to have.
I agree.
I thought he was going to be knocking on the door to 1,400 yards and multiple digit
touchdowns.
Did I make
a bet for that?
15 touchdowns. I really thought this was going to be a huge year for him. But
so
to say that he didn't, he's never averaged 4 yards of carrying and squeaking out 100 yards is not accurate.
It's a lie. He did it last
December.
It's
not accurate. He did it four times in the last six games, or whatever it was last year. He's had plenty of productive days as a Patriot.
So are all these comments about him that seem like they're anti-Maroney comments from Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, are those simply coincidence?
I'm not sure I know which one.
I think I know which.
He said he doesn't dance. He hits the hole. He takes what he gets when it's there.
Oh, right. Another emailer reference that we'll get to that in a minute. But
except he does dance at times.
He's not physically anywhere near as talented as Lawrence Maroney.
Of course not.
But Jabbar Gaffney's not physically anywhere near talented as Chad Jackson. I hate to keep, but he's kind of my poster boy for the show of guys with talent that piss them their career away.
Well, yeah, we said that when cuts were made. We said, look, you look at Ray Ventrone and Chad Jackson,
right,
and you say, which one made the NFL roster, and you'd be wrong.
Which one was a future feature?
And number three.
That was just Derek that wanted to do a feature on him.
On who?
Ray Ventrone?
Well,
it was only fitting. They finally let him play in his own charity tournament.
Yeah.
A dozen years into it.
Final thing from Ping Pong. Wes Welker is a nice little player.
Yep.
After breaking the NFL record for having 6 or more catches in 9 straight games, do you think he'll surpass his old record of 112 catches in a season and go to Hawaii?
Yep.
No.
Really?
I don't think he'll go to Hawaii, but I think he may surpass that record.
Good chance of that. He's on pace for 112 again.
Yeah. Well, no, he's ahead of it now.
Well, yeah.
Because he had whatever last week.
He's the only guy ever open, so just dump it off all day.
But I don't think
he's
tapping. I don't think he's going to Hawaii unless he has more games like he did on Sunday and less games like he did in the first 8 weeks.
You should probably reach the end zone before you go to Hawaii. Call me crazy.
Let's go to the phones.
I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that that's the offense right now.
I think he's been outstanding.
Right, I do too. But again, those aren't Pro Bowl numbers. There are going to be plenty of guys in this league with 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Andre Johnson, first of all, starts the AFC Pro Bowl voting at receiver.
I have no idea what the numbers are like for everybody else. I know Andre Johnson, like Andy just said,
ridiculous.
Is having a huge year. I don't have the rest of the numbers in front of me. But, you know, to me, when you're averaging, you know, barely 10 yards a catch, I don't think that's a Pro Bowl season.
No.
Chris with the TIAN, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
All right. I was kind of just wondering how long we can keep sustaining these major injuries like this and when it's going to have an effect.
Well,
I know the team's got great depth, and I think with AD now out, the pressure even more falls on the front three to control that line of scrimmage and get some heat on the QB.
Well, it does, Christian, and it also falls on, I think, Pierre Woods if he's going to be the guy that does it. Because so far, I'm counting 3 major injuries. I know Paul's saying this is only the second one, but I'm counting 3. I'm counting Brady, Harrison, Maroney, because he was the starter, and now AD. And in those first 3, you had Castle step up, and he's getting the job done. You had Merriweather step in, and he's getting the job done. You got Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who's now had to take the load because of further injuries, and he's stepping up. So they're 3 for 3 right now in that regard, you'd have to say. And I think the pressure more falls on Woods for him to perform. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I think the tough thing about losing Thomas is that he was a leader in the huddle, and he wore the communication device in his headset, was calling plays.
And he never left the field.
He was in there on 99% of
you've
the
added a. It was easy to say, Bruschi, you go off, we're on a sub down.
Right.
Now you've added a layer of confusion, of adjustments, of changes, because I just don't think Pierre Woods can play every down.
No, and that would be devastating.
That's my point
if he
in a
does.
Nutshell why I think this is the second significant injury. The other guys weren't in this situation.
This is far more significant now than Harrison's injury at this stage of Harrison's career.
Lawrence
and what
Maroney,
his responsibilities were.
Lawrence Maroney, I like. I think you know he's like. I think Andy, you put it right when you said he's far more talented than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but. The fact of the matter is they had 5 running backs on the roster, and somebody was going to get the yards. Maybe it won't look the same, but somebody's going to get the yards. So I think that the loss, and
especially the amount of criticism the guy's gotten over the last 2.5 years. You can't sit here and cry and tell me about, oh, we're missing Lawrence Maroney. Everybody hates him.
Right. People wanted him out of here. The only way you can't play both
ways. I think you can talk about running back is if you say all three of them. Okay. You didn't expect all three of them.
Right.
I mean, you got three veterans on the depth chart. That's a little ridiculous. And any one of them could have been called the starter or whatever.
I didn't expect it to be Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, but they had five guys, and I expected somebody to do it.
But now, does that speak more to the level of quality that the Patriots have at that position, or the quality of play that the offensive line is providing in the running game, or is it a little bit of both?
Both.
I think offense is a complementary.
They had a lot of a lot of depth at that position, and I think it showed.
I mean, remember we were talking about, oh, gee, they're going to carry five running backs.
Where are they going to get all the carries, you know?
And
we have too much pitching.
When they make decisions like you know, they're always pushing the right buttons.
I don't think they have that kind of depth at linebacker, and I certainly don't think they have the kind of versatility that AD provides.
Right. But to be fair, Pierre Woods is Matt Cassel. He's been around long enough. He's gotten reps as a backup. Mm-hmm. He's played in the preseason. Maybe they hit again. Maybe they were right, and he's an outside linebacker in their system, and he makes plays.
You guys weren't here when Fred and I talked about this. I don't think they'll fall apart. I expect them to continue on the same. I expect it to look very similar to the way it's looked for the last 9 weeks, with or without AD. I think that's a big loss, but I've seen them plug in guys, and they get by. Now, there's no way Pierre Woods can do what AD did. There's no way. But I think that they find a way to get by and do some things, like you said, Andy.
I think they're going to get confused.
What'd you say? First and second downs sometimes, maybe Woods, early downs, maybe Guyton on some sub packages, and I totally agree with you. Will it look as good? Will it be the same? No way.
I think they're going to get caught with their pants down a couple times, because I've seen them, when Harrison and Thomas were on the field, arguing, and now you throw Guyton and Woods and guys moving around doing different things. I think there's going to be some plays allowed by this defense that are solely related to the fact that they're not all on the same page.
Well, does it cut down on what they would do, you know, game plan wise? In other words, maybe there isn't going to be that walking around now that you got Woods in there. Maybe it is just going to be more of a, you know, they're not going to get as crazy with blitzes. I think maybe that's where it might hurt.
I don't think that. Yeah, they're not going to ask Pierre Woods to do exactly what Adalys Thomas did on early downs, or Gary Guyton to do, or Eric Alexander, whoever plays, to do exactly what he did on sub downs. I mean, it's going to be pared back because those guys don't know what they're doing.
But you know who they might ask to do some more stuff is Rabel. I think the pressure is not on Woods. I think the pressure is on Vrabel.
He's not having a good year already.
He hasn't made a lot of huge plays, I'll tell you that. But I think that he's a guy that they need to rely on to get some pressure on the quarterback if AD is not there. Because I don't think you can ask, you know, like you said, Andy, I don't think you can ask Woods and Gary Guyton to do some of those things.
Anything else on your mind, Christian?
Yeah, I just got to say, after 9 games, I mean, if you would have told me that everything that happened from game one to now, and that we're in a position to, if we win this week, to actually have a fight for that second first round bye, I would have said you were crazy.
I agree.
I mean, I just that speaks to the coaching and to guys playing and stepping up. But this game this week is huge. Absolutely.
Yeah,
huge.
The bye part of it to me is
it's astounding.
That's the part I can't believe because I would have thought for sure that. I would have thought for sure that Indianapolis and San Diego would have had those two byes locked up by now.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that they're both behind the Patriots is astounding to me.
No, it is. So, but we'll see. I mean, this is now it's getting good. So,
but the 6-3. If you had asked me after the Kansas City game, the worst I would have had them, the absolute worst, would have been 5-4.
Yeah.
The only difference, yeah. I mean, I think I would have probably said 6-3, and the difference is I wouldn't have thought they would have lost to Miami,
right.
But maybe they would have lost to the Jets. If you swap those two games, I think that would have been 6-3 just the way they were.
I agree.
I'm not surprised by the record at all.
Even with Brady in there, this is probably as good as you could have asked for given some of the games in the schedule, because we thought they would have had a shot at losing at San Diego anyway. Maybe losing to the Jets instead of Miami.
Miami at home, there's no way.
Losing to the Colts at Indianapolis, that wouldn't have been a stretch to pick with Brady in the lineup, too. So really, how much better could they have been with Brady?
Well, what I'm saying is, even after the Brady injury, I would have said, with the way the schedule unfolded, I would have said, at worst, 5-4.
I'm with you in the sense that they've already lost the guy who was supposed to be the most irreplaceable player in the roster, and they're 6-3. Mm-hmm. So no disrespect to Thomas, but they can survive that, I think.
They've had their biggest injury.
Had their biggest injury.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys got lunch this week? You need anybody for tomorrow, Thursday? I'm up.
No, we're good.
Well,
you know, we'll talk to Gary. Stay on the line. We'll have you talk to Gary. We'll get your information.
All
All right, I'll take care of dessert.
Thanks. All right, Christian.
I'll talk to you guys
later.
Thanks,
Christian. For the call, buddy, as always.
I mean, I do think that I agree with you guys. I think this is a significant injury. I think Adalis Thomas was doing a lot of different things. But I just, you know, the machine just, you know, how do they put it? You know, machine. The machine's got to keep rolling.
Mm-hmm. The show
yeah,
must
but
go
how long?
On.
I mean, they've been playing by the skin of their teeth now for
to me,
games
until they
here
start
there,
playing teams that I feel are better than they are.
Right.
Well,
I'm not expecting
well, skin of their schedule, teeth. I mean,
so.
Skin of their teeth, they dominate.
I mean, if they had to play, if they
the
were
Colts
playing,
game
listen.
Came down to plays. The Rams game came down to the Rams' inability to finish. I mean, they played some games that they could have very easily lost.
Right.
So, but it's not like they've had this margin of error, and they've been playing, quote, complimentary football. Well, you lost maybe your MVP on defense, little complimentary game might fall apart a little bit.
It might be unfair, but
I just think to always assume, well, he's Bill Belichick. That's what he does. He'll
see,
plug
I'm
in
not
Pierre
assuming,
Woods.
And, I think you're missing it.
I think there's a reason the phrase is the straw that broke the camel's back. He carried the first 100 straws. It was the 101st that broke him.
So are you saying that this is the one that's going to break him?
No, but I don't just move past it. I think he's a huge part of that front seven.
I think that we're actually talking about two different things.
Yeah.
If this was 2007, I think the back would have been broken by now. I think they'd probably be 3-6 instead of 6-3. I think it's all about who they're playing. I think they're playing
the
teams.
Stinks,
they're playing teams that they are better than. Last year they played the NFC East. This year they're playing the NFC West. If they were playing the NFC this year, NFC East this year, I don't think they'd have won a single game in that division. I think they've gone 0-4.
But I mean,
those
the NFC West
Tom
a perfect
Brady.
Example. The Cardinals. That's a team that I think
could
the Patriots
them.
Are comparable to.
Could be
and
them.
If you
yes.
miss a couple plays that you would have made with Adalis Thomas, you could lose that game.
I think that's a losable game. Yes, I don't
the
think
Steelers,
any of the other three games
and
in
the
that division are
games
losable.
They have left are all here.
Well, Seattle stinks, but I'm not just going to totally write off Seattle.
If Hasselbeck plays, that's a losable game.
And he's playing
game.
This week. So
if he plays, that's a losable game.
I wouldn't even go that far. I really don't think it is.
I think the margin of error is Miami, that'll be a tough game.
I totally agree with you, Andy. I think the margin of error is small, but I think the teams that they're playing, they're probably going to find a way to get by most weeks. Look, looking right ahead, I mean, the Jets, they could lose that game. At Miami, they could lose that game. And
no
Pittsburgh, the following game, they could lose that game.
I think that
we
at
could
Miami
be sitting
game,
here in
3 weeks.
We could be sitting here in 3 weeks at 6-6, with or without Adalis Thomas, and be sitting there and saying, hey, at some point it had to catch up to them. Right? But I also think that they could win all three of those games.
Oh, yeah.
And we're sitting there
but
saying
that's the league.
They got the number 2 seed. I don't think they had a I don't think they'd have a chance to beat the Giants right now. I don't think they'd have a chance to beat the Eagles right now. I don't think they'd have a chance to beat a few other teams
Tennessee?
That they haven't played. I don't think they would beat Tennessee.
No, but my only point is
now maybe
saying,
in the middle of January
the machine must go on. Well, the
that might be a whole different story. I'm talking about right now, this second.
The machine's not as good as it was Sunday.
Absolutely not.
And I think to just in a league where everything's already closed to say the machine will just keep chugging because that's what they do. Well, at some point, you're just being a player and you're buying into what Bill sells you, and you lost a potential all-pro type player.
And
off
just
your
aren't, there aren't a lot of teams that I would say I don't think they have a chance to beat. Well, maybe there's only two or three.
It's easier
no,
to
but
buy
that's
into
the
that.
Bad league.
That's
I'm
what
saying,
saying
are actually going to win them because you took away maybe a play here or a play there.
It's easier to buy into that theory when they do it without the best player in the league.
No question.
So it's not like last year, and it's not like any other year. They never lost Tom Brady. Now they have, and they're still winning.
But what's your point? I'm talking about Adalis Thomas. I'm talking about his impact on defense for a team that I think has been getting by with good complimentary wins.
Back to
and
the
you
emails.
Lost part of your complimentary. I mean, he's the best player on the
yeah,
defense.
No question. I agree.
Consistently in terms of every down. You know, Bill says you got Reggie White, you play him. Well, he was as close to Reggie White as they had because he played every down.
Yeah. I mean, Reese has him at 99%, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't really need that to tell me that he plays all the time.
I'm just saying.
I watch the games and I go, you know who never leaves the field? Adalis Thomas. Back whether it's 78.7%, 92.1%.
He's got an edge today, doesn't he?
Oh, goodness. Well, he's sick. You know.
He does
must
have an edge.
Must be a lover's,
he should be a lover's
be quarrel.
I went from freezing to hot. Did the temperature in here go up 100?
No, you're sick. That's what it is. He's sick.
Lover's quarrel?
Life in general?
Who?
Mike Reese?
You're very you're
I mean,
very
you're in love with
today.
His hair and his skin tone.
I mean, he looks good
today.
On TV. I'm man enough to say that. The man looks good on TV.
You're very edgy today. What's the matter?
He shouldn't be here, Paul.
Do you need a hug?
He's infecting everybody here with this.
Eric, give him a hug. Not
I'm not going to go near him.
That's the kind of infecting you've been doing lately.
No.
Speaking of infections,
you and magic.
Gateway, of course. How about that Globe story today?
Yeah, a whole lot of nothing.
Oh, that was the worst story I've ever read.
Yeah, that was
according
great.
To a source.
Here's a recap of the last 5 months.
Right, seriously.
That's all it was.
That did. It looked like one of those
the
AP
timeline.
Stories that they write and, like, you've already read the bottom seven paragraphs 100 times.
You know, and just for those of you that don't know, there was a piece in the Globe today, not written by Mike Reese, so please don't, we're not making fun of Mike.
Not Mike or Chris.
He hasn't,
Chris
I mean,
Gasper.
This was Springer has been the point man on the Brady coverage. She has a medical source.
Evidently it's not a very good one because it only gets her the information 3 weeks after everybody else gets it. Because that was the lead today, according to a source.
Yeah.
I stopped reading.
He did, in fact, have the staff infection.
Well, that's why I came into your office.
This is stuff that's been out there for 3 weeks.
So did I miss something here? Because it was reading like there was some new news.
So now reading that story today.
It presented like there was new news. Yeah. It was on the front page of sports, and then a half of a whole page was dedicated to it inside.
But reading that story today, can you not infer that they have spent the last whatever amount of days since the Herald and ESPN came out with the stories about Brady's knee trying to validate whether that information was in fact true?
Yeah. That's kind of sounds like it.
That, I mean, if it was just like mentioned in passing that a source has confirmed reports.
No, it was a full-fledged
feature. It was
the
lead. It was the lead of the story. A source has indicated that Brady, in fact, did have a staph infection. We already knew that. Brady himself didn't deny that on his own website. He said that he had that problem. Right?
Hey, stop correcting me every time I say something wrong. Because if you do that, we're going to be here forever.
I just thought that was very odd that they would have such
story. It's on Brady's website, confirmed by him.
Yeah.
I mean, that, no need to write doesn't a story that end the speculation?
Pretty much. When it comes straight from the horse's mouth, it's time to close up shop.
But just so you know, it has now been confirmed.
Beating the bushes for a diamond in the
exactly. rough. Combining metaphors.
And the horse's mouth can carry it back. And what was the last one?
The horse's mouth can see it's fish for a day.
See, it's combining metaphors.
Andy,
it's not mixing them.
Andy in Sioux City's taking a shot at Mike here. This is the extent of his email. Subject line: that was the worst freaking practice report ever. Body text. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Ethan in Delaware's
taking nothing after you're welcome.
Douchebag.
Thank you.
All right. Ethan in Delaware taking a little shot at circulation manager Carol Hardy here.
Uh-oh, let's read that one.
Hey guys, I'm a bit down. According to the PFW that arrived on Monday, apparently the Patriots were blown out in San Diego. And according to Who Is Hot, Brandon Marshall will sorely test the secondary. It has me worried. Okay, now for a serious football question or two. With Dalis Thomas out for the season, I have some speculation on Mayo moving outside in sub packages. I'm not sure how much I like that idea. I really like what I've been seeing from Mayo on the inside in third down situations, and I'm not sure how well his skills would be for rushing the passer. And if they decline to use him in that fashion, it would make the disguising the fourth or fifth pass rusher more difficult in those sub packages. What do you think? I would prefer having either Woods or maybe Red or Guyton in for those situations.
I don't want Red in.
But what about his idea of moving Mayo to the outside at all?
I mean, he's done some stuff on the outside in sub packages.
He's done a lot of stuff.
In terms
in
of just becoming sub package Adalis Thomas, I don't think so. Yeah.
I like him in coverage.
I think he's been
very good in coverage, and I think to take him out of that role weakens you possibly at two spots.
That's why I think this is good. You're not going to be able to say X and Y are what they're going to do, because I think they're going to do like 20 different things between now and the end of the year that are related to this injury.
Mm-hmm. It's rare
that you guys think is irrelevant.
Well, you know,
I didn't. You can say you guys.
You can keep being smug about it, but we didn't say
you're
that.
Not a guy. I was talking to the guys.
You can keep throwing inaccuracies out there like you've done all day, but we'll just stick with facts.
I don't know. According to the unbiased observers, point to Andy was called in the media workroom by Shalice Menza-Young.
You didn't get a point for anything.
She gave
Ron
him a
Borges,
point.
By the way, confirmed everything that I have said about mixed martial arts and boxing, and Andy just sat there and
first
nodded,
of all,
nodded,
Ron
and
Borges
nodded.
Made legitimate points because Ron Borges
the
knows
same
about
points
sports.
That I have made on the show several times.
He's a big boxing guy, too. That's not exactly...
No, I know. That's why when they walk in, I go, hey, it's the two guys in the world that still care about boxing. And then they have their little chat. Hey, what do you think about the Thursday night?
All right. Ethan continues. Do you guys think
he's
that...
He's got such an edge today.
What's my jealous? Was somebody talking to Mike Reese today demanding your attention?
What is the matter, Eric? We're having a discourse here.
A discourse?
What's the matter? Okay.
You've had those. It's the other thing you have.
Oh. The other course.
Would you guys shut up?
Thank you.
Christ.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Reed.
You think Belichick was sending a message to Maroney when talking about Green Ellis' running style after the game on Sunday, specifically when he was saying that? Yeah, I know. If the running back is always looking for the 80-yard run, you usually end up with without the 80-yard run and several stops for no gain. Just seems like a criticism that has been leveled
pretty
at Maroney.
Pretty much describes Maroney's game.
But I didn't hear that. I was referencing what McDaniel said.
Oh, you didn't hear that?
Yeah, I didn't hear that quote either, but I'm assuming it's legit.
I left after the NFL Network girl got bitch slapped.
And then finally, he has a directive right at you, Andy.
Go
says the Supreme Court in 1974 ruled the Fairness Doctrine in place from 1949 to 1987 only applied in communications with a restricted number of providers in Miami Herald Publishing Company versus Tornillo. So only broadcast TV and radio, cable TV, satellite TV and radio, internet video and radio, as well as newspapers, blogs, vlogs, and message boards are exempt, which isn't why its stated purpose of raising the level of discourse, in quotes, is pure BS, since the discussion would just migrate to where it does not apply.
Isn't that something that they're trying
to reinstitute under the Obama administration?
So what it has been in the past is somewhat irrelevant.
Wow, this show
must have
really
been in the past
today,
when
huh?
the internet didn't exist.
Well, the internet was supposedly exempt, but they're trying to get...
No, he said other stuff because it went to 87. It was
49
to 87.
But he did just mention in that
he
whole thing
a bunch
the internet
of
is...
He threw in what he wanted to throw in, all the stuff that's come since then.
But my point is only that they're looking into addressing the fairness
doctrine. Vehicular homicide didn't exist until they invented vehicles.
Yeah, and not just
reinstituting
it, maybe making changes to it.
To include more
things.
Little started driving.
Right, so say goodbye to talk radio if that happens. Well, on terrestrial radio, at least.
There's some people believe we're going in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Dan from Charlottesville has a comment about the whole AD injury situation. Says, what's up, guys? Now that AD is out, I think it's time to unleash Vince Red on the NFL. As a Liberty alum myself, I've been waiting for this to happen all season. I admit that I've only seen him play against ACC and Big South competition. But when he has played, he's been very difficult to block and makes a lot of plays just because of his size and speed. I'm hoping that he can learn the defense well enough to contribute at some point this year because I'd love to watch him play for the Pats. And by the way, he's been wearing those long red sleeves since at least the beginning of the 07 season at Liberty. Liberty's red, white, and blue color scheme was a little more conducive for that than Virginia's blue and orange unis. Dan in Charlottesville.
They should combine his lower body with Sean Crable's upper body. You have a great linebacker. Imagine the beast that you'd be having off the edge.
Good news is I learned a little bit of information on Sean Crable. You're not allowed, or you can't get tattoos during the season.
What?
Because it won't heal right, and you'll have all kinds of problems, so you
Makes
just
sense.
Can't really do it. And so now that he's on IR, Lonnie Paxson's guy is, quote, coming up to take care of Crave's tattoos.
He's getting his old body tattoos.
He's
got tattoo muscles on his legs.
Yeah, he should do that. Do a little shadowing on his legs so it looks like he has big calves and not twigs.
What's he having done?
Oh, I don't know.
Did he tell you?
No, I'm not even sure Lonnie knew. Oh. I didn't talk to Sean Crable yet. Because
Lonnie has his own guys? That
have you seen the artwork?
Hi, this
have you
Lonnie
seen his
Paxton.
Body? Not to sound gay, but
yes, but you could get tattoos at more than one place. So I didn't know he had like a specific guy or guys that he went to.
He's Hollywood now, man.
That's a relevant question, Eric.
Thank you, Paul.
Not really.
Unbelievable.
Don't you have emails you want to?
Nor
read?
Is
You're
it a relevant topic, but we still talk about
Would
it.
Would you guys shut up?
Yeah. God Almighty.
Crickets,
all right.
Crickets, crickets.
Awkward silence.
I did mention earlier in the show that Vince Red. And I know that Andy's sort of down on his boy.
I'm not down on him. I want Vince Red for the future, not the present.
Right. I don't think he'll have a huge role, even if he does get elevated to the active roster. But I did mention that with the practice reports that Mike was so breathlessly waiting to give us, he has been one of the practice players of the week two or three times over the past month and a half. So he obviously is working hard and doing what he's supposed to be doing on the practice squad. So maybe that hard work is rewarded.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, one of the reasons why the walkthrough sucked today because you didn't see anybody in the black jersey, so we don't know who the practice player of the week is yet, or players.
I know who one of them is.
I saw
who? Antoine Spahn. Saw it in his locker.
Oh.
See, if you were, you know, an intrepid reporter, you would go around and try to find that information out for yourself.
I was trying to talk to
beforehand.
Ron Borges.
About boxing.
About boxing, right.
We're the only two people in the world who care.
Just to clarify my Vince Red thoughts, I still like him. I just don't think he's ready to play right now. I think he's going to have a longer career than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Strippers has a quick quiz for all of us. He
Strippers.
Says, who leads the NFL in rushing? Now, does he mean individually or by team?
Adrian Peterson.
I was going to say.
Maybe he means by team.
I think he's
leading. Is it a trick question?
The Patriots were up there, weren't they?
Patriots were up very close.
Oh,
I don't know if that's what he means or
Certainly
not.
Certainly none of the Patriots are
could
leading
be a trick
an individual.
Question. I don't know.
I would have said Adrian Peterson, but I guess I don't know.
New York
Thomas,
Giants.
Thomas Jones?
I don't know. He didn't give us
the answer's
answer.
Not there?
No, he's asking
Strippers.
Us.
My boy Adrian Peterson, it says.
Oh, okay. It does say that.
So we got it right.
It was a layup, too. Because anytime Strippers ask anything, if it's either Oklahoma or
it's
Adrian
way down
Peterson.
At the bottom. Sorry, he left like 55
scroll
spaces.
Down.
I would have guessed Adrian Peterson, but not because I knew that, just because I would assume.
John from does not say where. Another shot at Mike.
Do we have a pin in there?
From Does Not Say Where? I think that's in. I think that's near
Big
Uzbekistan.
Big shot.
Won't tell
us where he's from. Take shots at me now.
Says, Mike, dear God, can you calm down, you no-nut-having, fight-avoiding New York fanboy?
Well
tell
said.
You what. Picture Jeter standing naked in the doorway. That should take you to your happy place.
Oh.
Yeah.
To the rest of the non-raging PFW staff, his question is,
my happy place is your mother's bedroom.
Oh. If Maroney's better
the similarities continue between the people that sit in that seat.
I'm a man of the people, though.
Yeah. His question is, if Maroney's better than Green Ellis, Maroney's better. However, considering how Maroney started the year, would he be better than Ben Jarvis now, or would he fall back into the old Maroney habits?
What?
I don't think Ben Jarvis is an all-star, but he's doing a better job at just doing his job.
That's what Bill said. I think we all said Maroney's more talented. Better is a different question. He's had better games
better
than Jarvis Green Ellis has
output.
Ever had, but not consistently. So is he better? I don't know.
Well, to say someone's better is usually based on the output. Talent is just based on the physical
right,
skills.
Right, but Lawrence Maroney's had 3 years to do damage.
Yes.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has had a
from
month.
A cumulative effect, yeah, Lawrence Maroney's a better football player. He has been. He has more background.
Right.
And
the whole thing is
scouts
running in
spoke
circles here,
clearly about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis when the guy rushed for 4,000 yards, 1,000 yards every season, and he was undrafted.
I mean, there's a bit of a statement being made there. Like, the guy produced every time he had a chance, but they didn't want him. That talks about his pure physical skills and making the jump to the next level.
Who sent the beer?
That's Todd in Nova Scotia.
I was just going to guess that because it said Phil. From Nova Scotia on the bottom of the can. Thanks, Todd.
Philip in Nova Scotia. Sorry.
Todd in Nova Scotia is the one who hates you.
Sorry.
Chris
Thanks
Burrow.
For nothing, Todd. And Thanks, Philip.
And you. Todd hates everybody. He's a little like me.
They sell it in 8-packs, huh?
That's what I thought the coolest part was. It comes in 8-packs.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
One more and Paul be drunk.
Imagine all the fish you could kill. Imagine all the fish you could kill throwing this little 8-pack plastic thing into the ocean. Have you seen those public service announcements? They tell you to cut them up.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's birds, not fish.
Kill birds aren't in the water.
You could kill a fish, too. Okay, I'll let you go with it. I know you get all angry if...
John added a PS
comes up.
To his email. He said he was just kidding, Mike. He just wanted to see if your head would
explode. I like John. He's a good guy.
He's got a little extra
testosterone. Look at him.
He's been purchasing stuff that may or may not be working.
Want me to take my shirt off? Want to see if it works?
No. You and Fred. Between you threatening to take your shirt off and Fred threatening to take his pants off.
What?
It's ridiculous.
Huh? Sean Crable.
You want me to read Todd's email there? I got an email.
You got an email from him?
From Todd, Nova Scotia.
Oh, yeah, I read it. Yeah,
they
go ahead,
like
go ahead
show,
Paul. You can read it. Yeah, that's fine.
Eric, you're like George on Seinfeld. When he stops thinking about sex, he's writing novels, paints, and reads about physics. Ping Pong is using his brain power to get girls naked. You should try it. It might be less annoying. I miss Fred.
Yeah, I miss Fred, too. Thanks, Todd.
I can't believe how indispensable Fred is on this show.
It's the key
I,
to the
I,
show.
Believe me, I'd have been the last guy to ever predict that, but I was wrong.
Who else
yet
is
going
to chew out the poor security guard who comes in midway through the show?
That guy deserved.
Doing a radio show here.
That guy deserved to be chewed out.
Everyone to fight him.
What happened? He deserved to be fighted. Fought.
He deserved to be fighted.
Some guy came in that door, and Fred just like we're on the air, just yelled at him.
One of the
we're doing a radio show here.
The food is
lying.
Thanks
a
lot.
He didn't do it like that.
Oh, he had attitude.
He definitely.
He was
had
like
attitude,
you and the security
like
guard asked you where you were going. You said my office
work.
That
was not. No,
I did that too. I felt bad about it.
First
going
of all, I said to work.
All you people have this great sense of entitlement.
But I didn't say it with any.
What do you mean you
people? You just
souls of.
And I also was showing him my ID as
the
I was saying
on the ass
to work.
Of society.
You held your middle finger over it, I saw.
Yeah.
Righty, I'm going to my office.
The problem was I was blind
Get
drunk
your office
and
right
didn't
here.
Know where I was going.
Well, no, there's only 8, not 9.
Yeah, but I had...
Paul had 2 beers.
I had
2 on the way in.
I had 9 that day when I came to work. I just decided for a primer.
I would.
How much did you guys talk about the Jets game earlier before we got here?
Oh, do we have a show on Thursday?
Of course we do.
I believe we do, right, Gary?
Yes, we have a show on Thursday.
Normal time?
No big wigs. We're here to take our studio, so we're going to slide us in.
We probably will have to leave early, yes.
No.
I thought, are you kidding me?
For Sirius or someone?
Mike and the Mad Dog? Or
just
Mad Dog?
Mad Dog. Mike's not with him.
Well, if you stay here, Mike, it would be Mike.
Can I come down and
I
laugh
should
with
stay.
Him?
I want, like, you know what? I'm going to hang out.
Hey, Mikey!
I'm going to get a picture. Is that cool? Think he'll pose for a picture? Bring him my camera.
Gotta tell him
I don't know.
Yankee
I thought
fan.
You wanted to leave the room with your
is he
dignity.
A Yankee fan or is
no.
he a Mets?
Oh, he hates the Yankees.
He's a Mets fan?
Giants fan.
He hates the Yankees.
San Francisco Giants fan.
Oh, was Francesco was the Yankee fan?
He absolutely hates the Yankees.
Yeah. You know who was here yesterday?
Who?
Or Sunday? Bill who? O'Reilly.
Yeah, I heard that on Dennis O'Callaghan.
I wanted to watch it live.
You didn't get him to say do it live, huh?
I was trying to get him down here. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day and
do it live!
It would have been a great
That would have been a good get.
That would have been his best get.
I heard he's like 7'2".
I have an NFL Hall of Famer.
Outside of this building, yeah.
That's kind of a layup, though.
It wasn't at the time.
How did your little conversation with Mike Vrabel go when he asked you to stop playing certain lame music during
Counting Crows?
And then he had he didn't know what he was talking about.
What?
Did you tell him that? I don't know what song it was.
He's, so
he's
school,
like
huh?
you. He doesn't really know what's going on, but he likes to make fun of you for the music.
And he just knows that he doesn't like it.
Right.
Well, I've been doing it for 10 years, and that's the first time anyone's ever said, stop playing that song.
If I knew the song, I'd tell you to stop playing it. What is it? Is he going to play it now?
I don't know.
Or is he playing Free Cell? Yeah, this has no place at a football
stadium. That sucks for football. Maybe for a book reading or a poetry slam.
It's better than the 1974 dance versions that the cheerleaders have for their routines.
This is kind of a filler in between things. And sometimes you don't always
know what time it is.
You know what time it is now,
just stick with some rap and it's fine.
Poop on Gary time.
That's right.
You got your music ready for Christmas? I don't know if you know, you're supposed to start this week.
Why don't you let me help?
Based on all the radio stations in the area, there's at least five that have gone to all Christmas.
After Thanksgiving.
It's out of control.
Certain home improvements stores have had Christmas trees up since
Oh, yeah. September. I already bought an inflatable Tigger. A big one for your front yard.
That's
Tigger. After Thanksgiving.
Nothing says holidays like Tigger.
Like an inflatable Tigger.
He's got a
Tigger.
Christmas box in front of him and a Santa hat on.
Pooh would have been more appropriate for you, no?
My son likes Tigger. Tigger steals that show, Tigger and Pooh.
Thanks.
That's why they put him, they flip-flopped. It used to be Pooh, now it's Tigger and Pooh.
What do you guys think about this Thursday game?
Fred,
seriously.
If you're listening,
be a good
please
game.
Come back.
No, I mean the fact that they're playing on a Thursday.
Oh, I love that. Thursday night game?
Because of it gets us the weekend off or because...
Oh, that's just an ancillary benefit.
I
wouldn't
want
to play every Thursday or anything like that, or multiple Thursdays. But
every Thursday would be great.
That we'd have the
Actually,
weekend
the entire
off.
Season was Thursday?
You know what my point is in terms
you
of...
Know it'd be, the you know what's nice? It's only 3 days in between the game, so less BS in the
right.
locker rooms and all that crap.
Right.
That's the best part about it.
Yeah, my point being...
Of course, after the game.
Not, yeah, if the games were really on Thursdays, I would have no problem with that. But my point is I wouldn't want to have like a Sunday and then a Thursday... multiple times
no.
during the course of the year for my team. I mean, I think it's hard to play a game
Which
4 days
Which team is
later.
Yours?
The Patriots.
Oh,
sorry. I hate the Patriots. I want them to lose every game.
That's what Fred told me.
We have to go with that.
That's what Fred told me, so I just go with it.
We have to go old school with that
beer.
One.
Does either team have an advantage because
of this? I also
am
coming down with a
no.
tumor, I think.
Oh, good.
They both played on Sunday. How can either team have an advantage?
Well, because one of them's at home.
Team
that I mean,
have
it's a
the
short road trip, obviously.
It's the
but...
one that executes on Thursday night here at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, the fact that the game's on Thursday means nothing.
Yeah, and it's not
one
like...
One team didn't have to fly cross country back home.
Exactly.
They were both at
it's
home.
It's a puddle jump for the Jets, so I think that the fact that they're on the road is minimized.
Stop trying to create news, Scalavino.
They were both home on Sunday, and the fact that the Jets didn't have to travel very far to get here
yeah.
on Thursday, I think, minimizes any advantage.
Which is probably why that's what the way the schedule makers did it. They weren't going to give them some kind of unfair edge to one team.
Well, like,
having
you know,
play
like Denver,
at Seattle and then come here.
Was Denver off the week they had to go to Cleveland on the Thursday night? I think they might have been. I think they might have had a bye.
Yeah, so again, the league does
remember.
A pretty good job of not putting you behind the eight ball,
right.
I think, in terms of schedule, for the most part.
Now, I read somewhere that there was, I think, a columnist in the Detroit area was... I think maybe calling
yeah.
for the NFL to stop the tradition of Detroit
Take
playing
away
on
Thanksgiving
Day.
From Detroit.
Well, they've sucked for 10 years.
They're so
I mean,
bad.
It's like
well,
not
it's been
a
more than
anymore.
That. But
yeah. I don't think that they should do that.
I don't either.
I don't like
either.
Tradition.
This is Tennessee,
I don't really care
Tennessee,
about that.
Detroit
plus,
on Thanksgiving this
you're
going to
have Thursday night games.
Tennessee at Detroit.
You have a winless team versus an undefeated team.
Most likely. Most likely.
That's probably that's going to be as bad as
Tennessee and Detroit?
Yeah.
I like it.
Wow.
I know.
I'll watch it. Everybody's going to watch it no matter what anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have it on a little bit.
It's what
bit.
You do.
Steve Young breaking some news there. Wow, thanks.
What's he doing?
Giants and Titans are the dominant teams in the NFL.
I've broken down every play that the Giants and Titans have had, and I've determined that they're the best two teams in football. Back to you, Boom. What?
It's true. It's funny because it's true, Paul. No, but
I told you how my buddy Harold Lederman sent it back to Jim Lampley.
I'll catch you.
No, he's
Gary,
like, he
apparently
reads
the
scorecard.
Week wasn't short enough. We're terrible right now.
You know, the fighter cannot be saved by the bell. Jim! And then Lampley just starts talking again.
Have they
great.
Ever played on Tuesday night?
Show.
Let's get the game.
Well,
we
why,
stink.
Don't you, why don't you provide something?
I'm sick. I expected you guys to carry me today.
You've
I
been ripping
like
everybody.
I was
How
only here for an hour. What do you want me to do about
people
it?
People won't like
I
this
I can't
show.
Make, you know, chicken salad out of
no, you spent 45 minutes out there to walk
Yeah,
through,
you hyped up your practice report. Like, everybody was like, oh, nice. We're finally
fraud. Making chicken salad out of chicken Gary.
The bubble is a further distance from the actual field.
Oh,
so
you poor thing. You have a car, don't you? Don't you drive?
I hopped a ride with Mike Reese, and he's jealous. That's why.
Oh, I see. You hopped a ride on Mike Reese? What'd you do?
Yeah, I rode him like a stallion.
Wow. Like Seabiscuit?
Like Seabiscuit.
Jeepers.
This show's going down the crapper.
What the hell is going on?
The one point that Fred and I were making, and see if you guys feel the same way about the Jets, is I think it's amazing and a testament to how far Matt Castle has come that you're hearing national people who are supposedly impartial and don't have a stake in this look at this game and say it comes down to which quarterback makes the fewest amount of mistakes, Matt Castle or Brett Favre. And the fact that it's a question, I think, is amazing.
Yeah,
see,
people actually think
that
Favre leads the league in picks this year.
I think it just comes down to Favre. If he's the good Favre, I think the Jets win. If he's the bad Favre, I think the Patriots win. I think Matt Castle can go without any mistakes and can't keep up with a Brett Favre shootout.
Oh no, not at all.
Favre is on. I think the game is over.
But
say
at some point,
to the secondary. I mean, if my Paul story as well.
But if he doesn't keep up, aren't those mistakes? I mean, when you don't score in the red zone, isn't that a mistake?
Depending on
they don't score in the red zone.
Mistake,
but I'm just saying.
I mean, I was thinking of a turnover.
I think the Patriots want to try to keep playing the way they
played.
The fact
that people
can't win like that.
Look at it. Whatever the semantics you want to use, the fact that you want to look at it the way Andy just said, will it be the good Favre or the bad Favre? That's the key to the game. And Castle's the other quarterback.
Right.
That's fairly amazing to me.
He's ready
for
a stinker,
too. Well, I think because Castle at his worst doesn't throw five picks. Favre at his worst can really be a complete abomination.
Castle at his worst
I don't think Favre needs to be at his worst to lose the game.
that's true, too.
I think if Favre throws a pick, that's enough.
Favre at his normal could do that.
Favre wasn't at his worst in the game in the Meadowlands, and he only put 10 points in the
And I think he's due for one of those games because he's had a couple of nice outings. Favre.
See, I think Castle's due for a bad game.
I don't think anybody's
due. He's improved every single week.
I think if you're looking at Favre and what he's due for, he's due for one of those good games because he really hasn't had a really good game in a long time.
I would contest that Castle's been pretty steady the last 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see any major peaks and valleys. So to
that's
say
why
that,
I think
well,
as a first-year starter, he's due for a four-pick game.
But that's why I don't see that that way.
Brady and Denver,
maybe
he's like
just
that first
no.
Year?
I just think maybe he's leveled off, and there's not necessarily another valley that's going to come because of it.
Well, I don't think it's a valley because I think it's one game. I think it's hard to play quarterback in the NFL.
Peaks and valleys. That's what it is.
No, I mean to me, a valley is what Trent Edwards is going through. He's bottomed out. He was playing great. He was the best fourth quarter passer in the game, and now he's not playing well at all. I think Matt Castle is due for four or five throws that you go, where's he throwing the football there?
He'll have
just like Brady did, just like Peyton Manning did, just like every quarterback virtually that's ever played this game has had those games. And to think that Matt Castle, who'd never started before, is just going to make it through an entire season without one of those stinkers, I don't think it's very realistic.
Stinker.
I don't see it happening this week, though.
Ty Law plays.
I just think it's interesting.
Ty Law, where's he going to be?
Based on the experience level of two quarterbacks, I think you could make a logical argument for either one of them having a bad game this week, and I think it's amazing.
So every week, Paul, a bad quarterback could play for any team. Is that the statement we're making?
No, I'm saying that people think there's a legitimate good chance that Favre will be the bad quarterback this week and not Castle.
That's what he does. He's 50.
That's my argument.
In that matchup.
That's my argument.
But that's just because Castle hasn't laid it yet. That's unfair to Favre and Castle.
But
Castle's got seven good games, so everybody goes, well, he's probably going to continue on that. And Favre's got 672 games where he's split good and bad, so people say he's a 50-50 proposition.
Well, I think a lot more than Favre's career than that, then. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think he's done more than split, but okay.
You know what I mean.
No, I don't, actually.
He's a 50-50 proposition. He could show up, throw seven picks or seven touchdowns.
Just so much.
Want to give us another practice report? You got anything else left?
No, I don't, actually. No, I don't.
Todd from Nova Scotia wants to clarify.
I tried.
He wants to clarify his point. He says,
I
don't hate everybody. I like Fred. I like Andy, Fred, Gary, and Paul, but I do like to tease Paul. I hate Eric, arrogant. Two gender, screw up. Chris, computer monkey ass clown. I haven't decided about Mike yet, but I do like his attitude.
Well, thank you.
So that's Todd in Nova Scotia. Thanks, Todd.
I don't know what I've done to piss off Todd.
I've never really done anything to piss him off either, but he just has chosen not to like
it. What was the word he used? Arrogant.
Arrogant.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Arrogance would piss people off.
Sorry, I have a hard time defending you on that
and
one.
And you don't know when you're using
I
arrogance.
Want to get you. Remember the old, remember the wrestling character? Remember Rick Martel?
Yes.
Remember when he became the model?
Yes.
And he had that can of arrogance? That was his perfume?
Can-Am Connection? Was he part of the Can-Am Connection?
He was part of the Can-Am Connection.
Quick draw, Rick McGraw?
When he turned heel at
Chico
the end.
Chico Santana?
Turned heel. I haven't
turned heel.
Yeah, it's
and he became the model.
By the way.
Rick Martel?
I think so.
A lot of those guys.
I have a picture of Rick Martel
early,
when I was a kid.
Got
backstage
deaths.
At a WWF show at the then Providence Civic Center. Got a picture with the junkyard dog, Pedro Morales.
The junkyard dog.
Saying an 80s wrestler is dead is like saying, Bret Favre might throw a pick.
I know. Yeah, it's too bad.
It's a gimme.
Speaking of fights at the Civic Center, choreographed or not, Strippers has a question. Says, does Mike know Vinny Pazienza well?
Sure.
Yeah?
my uncle was his promoter for, his whole career, so... colorful character.
Has he ever let you, have one of the bimbos he usually
drives? No, well, I don't take
that's kind of where he's going here.
Of course that's where he's going.
He says, fun fact.
It's just a fun fact.
Back in the late 90s, I used to book his girlfriend Danielle for bachelor parties. Now she is porn star Tyler Faith.
No kidding. Wow.
Tyler Faith.
Well, you learn something new every day. That's some good information from strippers. Yeah, I like that.
Small world and big boobs.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm scanning emails. Yeah. Scanning emails. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
Vinny Paz is like quite a character. You know, they had a dinner for my uncle, who was the ITLO American Sportsman of the Year in Rhode Island.
ITLO. He kept saying ITLO.
Well, Teddy
right?
Atlas. Teddy Atlas was the MC. Right. He kept saying Italo American. So Vinny Paz got up there and he's like, Teddy Atlas is doing okay. I wish you'd just call it the ITLO American Club. And then Teddy Atlas, came out and knocked his style of dress. It was a good little back and forth.
Did he have a bimbo with him at that?
He says he had the sexiest table in the room.
Nice.
And I wouldn't disagree.
That's why he has no money, because they're all professionals.
Yeah, it's true.
What's
he
has doing?
No money?
No, does he see?
He's still
did that
kind
Thunder
of
thing
around.
Ever come through? That
no,
movie he was going to do?
They're still working on that, apparently. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
it's been years.
He has no money, Vinny Paz?
No.
We all heard it from the news.
At least he's got his looks.
Oh, boy.
Tough crowd, huh? Big fight Thursday night, by the way.
You're listening, Vinny. Love you.
Who do you got?
Peter Manfredo.
Who's the guy?
Saki Obika going for the IBO title.
Who's the guy you fought like four times? Danny something?
No, Greg Hogan.
Greg Hogan.
Greg Hogan.
I used to watch all those fights.
Greg Hogan was a very good fighter in his time.
I thought it was Hogan.
Hogan. That's what I said.
You said Hogan.
I said Hogan.
How's your Hogan?
How's it hanging?
Oh,
my. Yeah, big fight Thursday night. Unfortunately, the first Thursday night game this team plays in 5 years is scheduled on the same night.
At the Dunk?
But that's okay. It'll be at the Dunk. It's a good contender
people won't
card.
Like this show.
Got some old school
Thursday game.
Old school characters from the Contender show is going to be fighting as well. So.
Really?
It's on the Versus Network if anybody wants to watch in the press box with me, because I won't be watching this game.
So boxers who
that's
go on
damn
TV
sure.
reality shows are okay, but people who go on mixed martial arts reality shows, you can do it.
Well, because the ratio of the mixed martial artists from those reality shows have become world title holders in 2 months is much greater than the ones.
You're a clown.
The only one who's won a title off the Contender is Sergio Moore.
You're a clown.
The rest go back to obscurity.
You want real boxing analysis. You go in the locker room.
Although Manfredo,
gorgeous.
Manfredo has had two. He's had a title fight since then. He lost to Calzaghe, but
loser.
Yeah. Okay. I just see you fight him. That's the same thing as me fighting Matt from
wherever.
I would,
but I don't talk this big bad. Blah, blah, blah,
I'm not talking
blah,
big bad.
Anthem
Matt
comes on and you go nothing.
Yeah, because that really illustrates my point. Losing to a mixed martial artist fighter who's trained for 10 years. Fighting a football writer.
I just want
what
to
the hell?
Kick
what
your
what
ass.
Does that? What point does that prove? That's a very good point.
Like his first shot right there from Paul.
Serves no purpose other than me getting my face bashed in.
I can't believe this is the day that I need to repeat this show all day because Rook has laryngitis.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm embarrassed for us.
We're all sorry. We all feel bad for
Rook
you.
Rook has laryngitis.
Maybe we should redo the show.
You guys want to do 2 to 4?
So no, Paul and I get TV, but these two will.
What happened?
I got to do web updates. What do you want me to do here?
What happens if he
2 to 4? You want to do 2 to 4? I'll
do the game on Thursday.
We'll do it. We'll do it live.
Today. He's rest his voice. He's losing it on Sunday.
Do it live.
You want to do it live?
Maybe if he stops him.
You're never going to catch.
Did he lose it? He lost it here, though.
Can we do like 2 to 3?
He needs a 2-hour show.
It's either 2 or none.
Oh, I don't want to interrupt your busy web schedule. Sorry.
You're never going to catch me.
Is that a shot at Gary?
I don't know who's a shot at.
He's just taking
I'm just
shots.
Throwing haymakers, and I hope one of them lands. That's all I'm trying to do.
This sucks.
This hasn't been a good an hour for me. I don't know what's going on.
Well, you came in here all gangbusters about your practice report, and you gave us nothing.
The two of you, Andy and Mike, very edgy today.
Well, but at least Andy's been sick. I can give him some credit for that. He's been complaining all day. He's infecting the rest of the building.
I'm just frustrated. We want.
At what?
I don't know.
You have a job in this economy with, what's been going on lately. You should be happy.
Limited skills.
That's true. I've been fooling people for 7 years. It's going to start catching up to me.
We're on the air tomorrow?
Unfortunately.
Doubtful. Wow. Well, if we are, it'll be from noon to 2, as always.
This was a good show.
It was before you got here, Mike.
For all the guys, I'd like to officially
apologize. A very good last hour.
Weekly.
And to
to all the veterans.
How is this any
there,
different than, like, the Big Show just rambling on for 2 hours?
It's just
nothing.
Another example
no
of
different.
Fred's absence. Just
we got it done today.
The ship be sinking without Fred.
All right. Well, that's it for today's PFW in Progress. We will try our best to do better tomorrow. We'll see you on Wednesday.